Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Suggested.
Hey, hey, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Got a little bit of crowd calm down. Get a little crazy. Crowd gets a little crazy all the time, and, you know, it's just, I know we cause a lot of excitement, but hey, we do have an exciting show for you tonight. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, the Disrespected Trucker, and I am here with my co-host, Chris Bikers. And Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, my friend?
Well, the bastards ain't killed me yet, but maybe that's because I'm the slightly more respected trucker.
Exactly. Yeah, they're on to you, though. Trust me. And you know what? I have we have our producer, Kim. We have her on the line tonight. Kim, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful, guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
Awesome. So, Kim, this is her second weekend with us. She produces the Patriots United radio show, also on Unplugged 7 here on the same network. And we got in touch with her and asked her if she would come over and do the same thing for us. And she graciously agreed, which we do, we appreciate more than you'll ever know. She'll be running the switchboard for us. And as time goes on here, I'm sure she'll start helping us out with some guests, and she'll also be in the chat. And we're excited to have Kim on. So if you are listening over your phone and all of a sudden a radio show, just you can't hear it no more, and a woman's voice comes on, this is not a 900 number. It is Kim, and she is our producer.
My God, it could be my side business. It could be like a total side bit for me. Awesome.
Exactly.
No,
right?
I don't have time for that. Don't have time
right.
for that.
So what I want to just emphasize, once Kim, if Kim does contact you and you're on the phone and she asks you if you have something to say or you want to get on air, be respectful. If you are disrespectful to her, I've already told her, you're not getting on the air. That's how we operate things here. Everybody deserves respect until you don't deserve respect. So just keep that
Canadians
in mind.
Canadians are nice.
And,
Canadians are very nice people, but I'll tell you, there's one thing I'm sure my ex-husband would be saying right now is don't fuck with a Canadian. So I can hold my own, but everyone has been absolutely lovely. I have not run into any problems, and if I do, well, I'm sorry that someone's having a bad day. They're going to get the opportunity to reverse that attitude with me, and if not, they'll be gone, and I'll make note of their number, and we'll deal with it later.
Exactly. So, Kim, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? You are from Canada, and again, we connected through Patriots United Radio Show with Chad and Michael. And mm-hmm. why don't you just take a minute and just explain where you're from, who you are, what you're up to.
You didn't tell me I was going to have to do all this. So great.
Well, just a little bit. That's okay.
Okay. Well, I live in Canada, and going through the same kind of crap that you guys are in the U.S. and all over the world. What do I say about myself? I'm a single mom. I have 9 dogs and 8 cats. I have show dogs and rescues. I have Tibetan Mastiff show dogs. Just if anyone's, you know, going to get any ideas, yeah, you got to get through my dogs. I do a lot of contract work. I work from home, hence why I have so many dogs. Just bought my dream acreage. And, yeah, I do a lot of website work and all that kind of stuff. And I enjoy being a true patriot. I enjoy trying to do my part. And, yeah, it keeps me busy.
Well, I appreciate you doing what you're doing for us here on this show and Patriots United and through the Unplugged 7 radio network. And I welcome you aboard to the Disrespect Your Trucker radio show. And, Kim, thank you so much for being here and for all that you do.
Well, I haven't really done much yet. I'm sure there's going to be a day where Jeremy's swearing at me, but I'll handle him. Don't worry. I have his number. but no. Anyways, I look forward to the show. I'm going to mute myself, and you guys carry on. And thank you for the welcome, and I look forward to many, many, many shows ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Kim. All right, guys.
No
well,
worries.
Moving on. That was Kim, and I want you guys to there's so much going on right now, and it never fails. Right when we get a good lineup of guests coming on, the news breaks like mad. Yesterday in Washington, D.C., the 1776 Restoration Movement rolled into Washington, D.C. The leader, Santa, was arrested. His truck was towed. Excuse me. I seen another lady fell off the fire truck out of the concrete. There was a brief period of time where somebody said that the cops did it, and there was a big, huge confrontation right there in the middle of D.C., today, I'm under the assumption, and I wasn't able to verify this today, but I did hear that Big D got arrested. That's Dennis Yarberry. He's the one that drives the yellow fire truck. And I also seen, I think Radar got arrested today too, because there was 2 provocateurs down there in D.C. while the 1776 Restoration Movement was down there, legally, well, not legally. It's under the Constitution. Of course, it's legally, but they were down there peacefully protesting. They weren't being loud or boisterous, but these two provocateurs came in with loudspeakers and signs and were being very vulgar, very confrontational. I watched a lot of it, the F-bomb come out numerous times, and I know I use the F-bomb too, we all do, but she used that as it was her adjective. Yeah, instead of pronouns, they had adjectives. They were going crazy down there, and apparently Radar, she was being a little bit aggressive toward Radar, and he smacked at her microphone and hit her microphone, and she went to the police, and the police arrested him for, I think, simple assault. I don't know that. I heard that he was arrested, and I'm assuming that's what it was for. I follow a couple of the live streamers down there that are with the 1776 restoration movement, just so I can keep up on what's going on. I do know that they made a call for more patriots to come in, and as far as I know, there was like 40 or 50 coming in, and I thought to myself, you know, That's all great, grand and wonderful, and it's well needed and much needed. The problem is we got 40 patriots out of 360 million people that actually give a shit, and I can't sit here and criticize anybody because I wasn't on my way down there either. I don't have the money to go down there. The last few months has been pretty tough on me after the People's Convoy. You know, I spent a lot of my money down there, so. It's just sad to see our country not willing to stand up and fight for what's right. There's just a very small group of people that are actually doing it. And I'll be the first one to say, hey, thank you guys for doing what you're doing down there. I applaud you. And for the most part, I've seen you guys do, you know, stay really calm and peaceful. You got a little agitated at times, but I applaud you for holding back for the most part and doing what you should do. Protest peacefully and try to get your message across. But tonight we have a really good show lined up for you guys. Here in a few minutes, I'm going to bring Lisa and Lee Schmidt on. Lee and Lisa applied with the FMCSA for an exemption for the hours of service. They say that it cuts into his natural sleep cycle, Lee said, and I happen to agree with him. And his comment period is still up with the FMCSA, and I want to make sure that I give him ample opportunity to direct you guys to where you guys can go to comment and make your comment and just be respectful. You don't have to agree with them, and you don't have to, you know, disagree with them, whatever, but if you're going to disagree and you want to get on here and talk with him or Lisa, it's going to be respectful. If at one point in time you get out of line and disrespectful, the phone's going to get cut off and we're going to move on with the show. We just don't allow that. The second hour, about right around 8:15, and we'll have him on till 10. That's our cutoff point. If need be, we'll have Travis Bull Johnson, who's running for Minnesota's 7th District in Congress against Michelle Fischbach. And I've followed Travis for quite some time, and he seems just like me and you, like just a normal dude, you know, and he just sees what's going on and wants to make a change, and he's putting himself out there to run, and honestly, I like what a lot of the things he says. I don't agree with all the things he says, but I don't think it's possible to ever agree with anybody 100%. So with that, you know, I just want you to know that you can go look up Travis Bull Johnson stuff and remember, when you're voting for a candidate, you're not going to ever agree with them 100% of the time. If you do, it's a miracle. And secondly, take the time to research these people and find the candidate that you best align with. Don't, you know, just because I said, oh, he's good. Oh, yeah, Jeremy said he's good, so he must be good. No. Go do your own research. And that has to do with everything me or Chris or anybody here on the radio show talks about. Do your own research. We just lead you in a direction. And so with that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and go right into it with Lisa and Lee Schmidt. They're owner-operator truck drivers, and they are the ones that applied for the exemption with the FMCSA. And Lisa and Lee, I have you both on the line live and uncensored on Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Welcome to the radio show. And before we start, thank you guys so much for last weekend. And they cooked us steak and were very gracious hosts while we stayed at their house in Wisconsin, and just had a good time talking to them and catching up. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Rand.
Hi, Jeremy.
It's our hidden bunker. Very few people know where we live.
Well, yeah, well, now I do.
You are welcome anytime.
And you guys, well, thank you very much. And I appreciate your hospitality. We really did have a spectacular time with you guys, as always. And I shouldn't say as always. We've only, like, I don't know, met three times or whatever. But every time that I'm with you guys, it's just, you know, we're friends. We've been on the phone a million times, and you're just good people. But yeah, you guys have a nice place there out there in Wisconsin, the rural Wisconsin. You got your chickens and your geese, and I really enjoyed myself. But
poultry,
right? Exactly. So I want to get right into, because I have a limited amount of time with you guys, and I don't mean to cut you off, Lisa. I apologize, because I have a limited amount of time with you guys. I want to make sure that you guys are able to get out the message that you need to get out tonight on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show by, first of all, let's, whether it's you, Lisa, or Lee, whoever wants to explain it, what exactly is this exemption that you asked the FMCSA for? And let's start with that, and then we'll move on to how they can comment on the comment period until Saturday. So whichever one of you want to explain that, I'll give you the floor.
The exemption is to be exempt from the 14-hour clock, the 10 hours off, the half-hour break, the 60 and 7 days, the 70 and 8 days, and the 34 restart. I am not asking to be exempt from driving 11 hours in a 24-hour period. Get that clear. I'm only going to drive 11 in a 24, but I'm going to do it however I want. That's what I'm asking for.
And the FMCSA
literally
summary, and in the FMCSA summary, it seemed a little bit skewed that he wanted to drive whenever he wanted. It seemed like he was asking for an exemption from all HOS, and that's definitely not the case.
Right, and to make this clear, those of you that are not truck drivers, okay, legally we can drive 11 hours a day, okay? We have a 14-hour clock as of right now. In that 14-hour clock, you have to allow yourself a 15-minute period of time for a pre-trip inspection, and if you stop for fuel, if it's 50 gallons, you just have to flag it on your logs. If it's more than that, you have to log it as 15 minutes. I believe that's the rule. What Lee is asking for, so legally, basically, if Lee right now under the current laws, he could drive 11 hours and he could use, let's say, 15 minutes to a half hour. We'll call it a half hour just to make it fair. So out of that 14, so he could have 11 and a half hours out of that 14. What Lee is asking, hold on, let me reverse here. After that 11 and a half hours, he could legally take a 10-hour sleeper berth break or off duty,
right,
and go back driving in that same 24-hour period, which would mean that he would literally have 2.5 more hours to drive in that 24-hour period. What Lee is asking is that he's only allowed to drive 11 hours in a 24-hour period, but he wants to do it the way he wants. So, which means he might want to drive 8 hours and then sleep for 6 and then get up and drive his last 3 that he has in that 24-hour period. So actually what he's asking for is taking away from what his productivity could be under the current laws and regulations according to the FMCSA. But in all honesty, that productivity sometimes is lost. When, so let's say Lee drove 7 hours and he got tired and he slept, and then he got hung up he drove for another hour and then he got hung up at a shipper receiver and it started going against his clock, it takes away from his productivity again. So it's very hard for us to try to get you to understand over the radio, but what Lee is asking for is it's not like he wants to run outlaw. He wants to do what he wants to run according to what his biological clock says, his sleeping pattern, his sleeping habits. So am I pretty correct on...
It's actually safer than he wants
science.
To do because now look at, he can pull over during rush hour. Who wants to drive in rush hour? You know, he can stop for an hour and a half during rush hour on, if he gets the exemption, and doesn't have to be on the road with all the cars that are rushing home after work or to work. And that would actually be safer to get more semis off of the road during rush hour. Or if we can't find a place to park, you know, let's drive a little bit further and we'll find a safe place and not have to park on the side of the road. Those kinds of things will allow him to be actually safer if he gets this exemption.
And let's face it, it's really hard to do an 11-hour driving day in your 14-hour clock if other things come up. If you have to load, if you have to unload, it depends where you're at in the country. Very rarely do we actually drive 11 hours in a day. You know, if you're going west and you got a lot of open space, then you can. But this is just going to allow me to, like I said, if I want to drive 2 hours and screw off for a couple hours, take a nap, get up and go again, it's whenever I want. I'm not asking for more. I'm asking actually for less, but to do it how I want. And I said I would stay on the ELD.
What
right.
do you say
so
to
that
people
way
that say
they can track you through the ELD to see exactly if you have any incidents, if you're pulled over for speeding? I mean, they'll have all your data under the ELD. See, like me, under the current hours of service, I'm on ELD. I'll have a trip from where I live to out to Illinois, and it's about an 8.5-hour drive. Well, they require me to stop after 8 hours. And take a half-hour break. It's like, dude, I'm a half-hour away from where I got to be. Don't waste a half-hour of my day when I'm good to go for a half-hour. I stopped, you know, hours ago to use the bathroom for 10 or 15 minutes. I don't need to stop for a full half-hour because you said I need to, because a computer said so. I want to get to where I need to go so I can get a good night rest and not waste a half-hour of my sleep on productivity. That's what I call it. It's stupid.
What did you say,
Lisa? Say to those people? What do you say to those people that say, why don't you, apparently you don't know how to use the 8-2 and 7-3 split there, that is already available to you. What's your problem?
I do know how to use that. And why? Because if I run 7 and sleep for so much, and then I get up and I do my 3, tomorrow I can only run the 7. I can't run 11 until I have a full 10 off. So using split sleeper berth is fine if you're going to do it every day of the week. But you can't go back to your 11 straight in a day unless you take 10 off. I do know how to log. I started driving back when you had a chauffeur's license. So I know everything about how to log. If I wanted to do the 7,
exactly.
3, or 8, 2, I would do that. But I want to have the right to be able to just stop whenever I want. This is what everybody's always complained about, is the clock in your face. It's always this 14-hour clock ticking away. Get rid of the 14-hour clock. Drivers will slow down. It won't matter. They won't be racing a clock. You have 11 hours in a 24-hour period to do whatever you want as far as driving. Break it up if you want. You can stop and eat. You don't have a clock ticking away in your face. You can stop and take a nap. It doesn't affect you. It would be better.
And how many people, okay, I've talked to numerous people about what you just said, a nap. I'm one of those guys that need at least a 2-hour, if not a 3-hour nap in order to feel rejuvenated. I know guys that will stop for a half hour, and they're good to go again for a while. I'm not one of those guys. And the problem with you stopping for a half hour and napping on an 8-2 or a 7-3 on the 14, under the current 14-hour rule, that takes a half hour off your clock. Your clock doesn't stop if you only stop for a half hour or anything under 2 hours. So now you get down the road and your shipper holds you up for let's say, an hour and 58 minutes, and you got to go right away. They kick you off the property. That hour and 58 minutes goes against your 14, and so does that half hour that you stopped earlier to take your nap. So now you're up over 2.5 hours. Now you got a 15-minute pre-trip in there, and let's call a 15-minute fuel stop. Now you have less than roughly 15 minutes left of that 3 hours available to you on your 14-hour clock that you can legally take off without it cutting into your drive time. What happens if you blow a tire? What happens? They don't give any variables of what ifs. And I hear these people, well, you got to plan your trip. Those people are out of their frickin' minds. I've been driving truck for 20 years. You can plan your trip all you want, but you cannot, you can't plan for blown tires, mechanical failures, weather somewhat. But it's nearly impossible to completely plan for your trip unless you're on a dedicated route. You know exactly where you're going to be, what time you're going to be there, what the weather conditions are, but you never know who's going to cut you off, cause an accident. You just don't know. So your exemption request, Lee, is not out of line. It's not ridiculous, and you're not asking to be an outlaw. You're just asking for them to allow you to make the decision to be safe.
Right, exactly. And I have my driving history to prove it. I have no accidents preventable or at fault on my record. I have cleanest freaking MVR I know of. There's nothing on there. The only thing it says is 1996. He was grandfathered in for the Fed Med. My MVR or my PSP shows 4 DOTs, all passed, not put out of service, no violations. That's all that's on my record.
Right.
So in 30 some odd years experience, pretty sure we should be allowed to take care of our own body and follow that rather than this one size fits all. And to the naysayers that say, well, you've been following these regs for 30 years. Why change now? Actually, I haven't.
And
that's why
you were safe.
Trying for the exemption. Yeah.
And now look at
you're
what
just
the
trying
federal
to
government
do it the legal way.
Done.
Right.
The federal government has issued a COVID exemption for drivers if they're carrying a certain commodity. The ag people get to run carte blanche whenever they want. The formula drivers, if you're delivering formula, based on the commodity that's in your trailer, does not determine whether you're safe or not. So a person could go and get their CDL today, and tomorrow I could haul 80,000 pounds of formula down the road, and I could drive 24 hours if I wanted. But this 30-year-old driver can only drive 30 years of experience, can only drive 11 hours.
Well, I've always said from the very beginning of the ELD coming out that the ELD should have been used as a punishment tool, not as a one-size-fits-all regulation. There are drivers out here that you and I both know, and we've ran across them out here on the road, many of you have, that I just don't know when to say when. And those people that continuously get violations, speeding tickets, all that, those are the people that, you know, okay, we're going to put you on a one-year restriction where you have to use the ELD to prove to us that you know how to drive safely. That's how the ELD should have been used. But the government doesn't think the same way we do. The government has these visions of utopia where everything is going to be great and it's going to save 26 lives a year by getting these ELDs. Well, when they put these ELDs out, before we went to D.C. in 2020, our regulations were hours of service. You drove 11, took 10 off, and you had a 14-hour rule. That was it. There was no split until we went to D.C. in 2020. That's when the 2 and 8 and the 7 and 3 split was compromised with us after we stood up for 3 weeks on Constitution Avenue in Washington, D.C. But the fact of the matter is they said the ELDs were going to save 26 lives. Their data proves that the ELDs actually cost lives. We went from losing 1.4 truck drivers per day in America to 2.6 truck drivers a day after the ELD was implemented. And why is that? Well, the government says, well, now everybody's speeding and they're racing that clock. Well, doesn't that give you the first frickin' clue that maybe that your all your rules are screwed because you listen to a lobbyist group by the ATA called the ATA? So maybe listen to us regular truck drivers that can help you, where we can regulate this company or this this industry, where it is safe for all of us. Similar to what Lee's exemption request is, he knows when he's going to sleep. He knows when he's not going to sleep. He knows how his body works. So let's have a little bit of a give and take here. But Lee, how do people find the comment period on the FMCSA website? Or Lisa, whoever wants to tell people how they can find
you. I'll answer that because I actually can find it. So if I can find it on the frickin' phone, anybody can. It's
good.
Regulations.gov.
And not the FMCSA website.
Yeah, regulations.
Kim, can you type? Can you 1 second, Lee? Kim, when Lee gives this information out, would you be able to type that into our chat for us, how to find his comment period, so anybody that is maybe on the chat can go to regulations.gov, and then Lee will tell you exactly how to find it after there.
And as soon as you type in regulations.gov, FMCSA website opens up, and it's a blue screen, and there is a space there, a search bar. You type in the docket number 2022-12467 and hit search. The minute you do that, the exemption comes up. You click on the exemption, and then you write your comments.
Read it, then. Read the exemption request.
Yeah. Read the exemption. Don't read the summary because the summary is misleading. Like we said, their summary says basically I want to run carte blanche outlaw, but if you read the exemption, it says exactly what I'm asking for. There have been some people that said, well, why don't you just ask to run 11 however you want? That don't work. The reason I had to ask for all these exemptions from these other clocks is because you have to get rid of all of them to go back and get what you want. That's why it's exempt from the 14, the 10. And I added the 60 and 70 hour because I've said for a long time, it's good enough for us to stop every night and get 10 hours. They used to be 8. But then we have to stop on the weekend and sit for 34. But at oil field, you can do a 24-hour restart. You can accumulate time off toward your day, you know. So what I'm asking for is nothing new. It's on the books. It's just a lot of people don't know that there is a lot of carve-outs already. I'm just trying to make it an everyday carve-out.
There's a lot of work that we need as truck drivers to help get some of these regulations eased a little bit. And make it more common sense and where it fits not just one group of people but multiple groups of people and we could make our roads a hell of a lot safer if the FMCSA and the DOT would just sit down with some of us and we literally just sit there and start asking each other questions and our thoughts and our opinions. We could really change a lot of this industry for the better in a matter of probably 30 days. But
would you ask for it?
All right, 1 second, Lee. Before we continue on, I have to mention Unplug 7. Unplug 7 is the current platform that we are on right now that gave us this platform for us to get on here and speak freely, uncensored, of course. And we sure appreciate them giving us this opportunity. But if you are listening over the Internet, and you have questions that you want to ask me, Lee, Lisa, or any of us on the program at any time, get your pen and paper. I'll give you the guest call-in number. Write down this number, 516-387-1733. You can call into the radio show right now as we're speaking live and ask questions. When you do call in, make sure that you press the number 1. That lets us know that you want to speak. And as soon as Kim gets back on here, I think she's back on now, but she will screen the calls for us. She'll get on there and just ask you, you know, if you wanted to comment. But that guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And then make sure you press the number 1. That lets us know on the switchboard that you want to talk. But go ahead, Lee. I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I had to get out my little promos there. So.
That's all right. I forgot what I was going to say. Other than, if I get this exemption, is this something you would put an exemption and request in for?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would,
like,
Lee, because I don't, the way I run right now, the hours of service and the 14-hour rule hasn't really affected me that much. What's helped me is, and I know this is probably going to go against what you're asking for, which I'm not against what you're asking for, but just that for me personally, that 8-2 and 7-3 split helped me. For the simple fact that if you take over 3 hours off, say you're off for 4.5 or 5 hours, your clock is still stopped. I still would have to take a 7-hour break. But the way I run and how I'm set up right now, the company I'm leased on to, I really don't need an exemption. However, I do think it's a good idea for people to be able to file an exemption such as you, because we don't all work for the same company I do. At least not the same company.
Right.
We're not company drivers, you know. So it's important to have that exemption available if need be.
Anyone can file for an exemption. Anyone can file for an exemption. It's
right.
In the Green Book, 381.130, and we did it back in January. They finally got it published in June, so it took 6 months. Now, what we're asking is for anyone that wants to file an exemption, wait to see if we get ours approved or denied. Because if ours is denied, then we need, and whoever's going to file, needs to make some adjustments in how they file for this exemption. There is a way to get this approved. Maybe we found it. Maybe we didn't. You know, we're going to give them some more data in our comment, and hopefully, you know, you tell them in your comment how this HOS should be granted for this driver, because it doesn't work. And then once we get it, you know, the possibilities are endless, whether it be flood FMCSA with exemption requests, or possibly look at the hours of service, possibly do a pilot program on this, you know, grounds running 11 hours as you see fit and as you see safe. And it's not that he just wants to run carte blanche. He will still only run 11 hours. Maybe he wants to take a 2-hour nap in the morning and another 2-hour nap in the afternoon. Maybe it's okay. That's what he wants to do.
Right. So before we move on too far, Lisa, can you tell the audience what? How can they find you? Like, you have a website, Facebook pages. What is the way they can find you to better learn about the exemption request before Saturday's comment period ends?
We did a live video on our Facebook page, Trucking Across America with the Schmitz. That trucking page has been up since I've been in the truck for like 7 years now. We are also on Twitter, Trucking with the Schmitz, and we are on TikTok, Trucking with the Schmitz. So, I mean, the best way to learn about this exemption, to be honest, is to read our actual 2-page exemption request that we wrote. And if you still want to know more information from us, DM us or PM us through our page, and we would be happy, you know, to answer your questions. We've even helped some people write their comments. So if you're having difficulty and you just don't feel comfortable, get in touch with me. It ends this weekend, so you just have a day or two left. Don't put it off. Do it tonight or tomorrow if you want to get it done.
So we're uncensored. We're unplugged, right?
Yeah, we're unplugged, so we can say whatever we want. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that anybody that we all know, anybody, you name it, that's been involved in trucking advocacy anytime in D.C., would want to just make a comment on behalf of somebody that got a comment this far, a request in the FMCSA?
I would say so, yes.
Lee. And one would think,
but before we go on, Kim kind of had some issues there at home. She wasn't able to type in how people can find this on our chat. So I'm going to go to our chat real quick while we're on regulations. It's gov. Say that again.
Regulations.gov,
right?
Yep.
Oh, shoot. Man, I got to spell regulations right. You know, I'm a little illiterate some days. Okay, so it's a regulation, not irregulations. Regulations.gov, people. And then when you go to the search bar, you search for,
docket number 20.
One second. Search docket 20.
22. What is that?
Dash.
Minus sign? Dash.
Dash.
Yeah. 12467.
467. Okay. So if you're at home, you got a piece of paper and a pen. Okay. Oh, she's doing it. Kim's doing it right now. Okay. I know she. Okay. Thanks, Kim. She's already got it in there. She had some issues going on there, and I understand that happens. It pops up from time to time. But Kim did that. Thank you, Kim. It's regulations.gov, search docket 2022-12467. That'll, when you click on that docket, you'll be able to read what their exemption request is, and then you're able to comment. And I encourage all of you to go and make that comment. And because I get sidetracked so often, I haven't made my comment yet, and I'm going to make sure that after the radio show tonight that I go on there as I write this down, because I am a procrastinator and an airhead. So I've got it written down now. That's regulations.gov 2022-12467. Make sure that you go in there and write your comment, period, whether you're for or against it. Be honest. But at least now you heard Lee and Lisa's explanation of what they're trying.
Don't just say no, because we went through 350 comments. There was 37 no's, but they don't give a reason. There's a handful of actual reasons, but they're so misinformed, we're going to rebuttal them. But don't just say no. Give a reason why you're saying no, because at least all of the people that are saying yes give explanations as to how they could see this benefiting me, and that if this goes through, they're going to apply, or how this other drivers have said on there that, yes, I should have this. This is the reason they got out of trucking, because of the 14-hour rule. You know, it's give a reason why, yes or no. Don't just say no or don't just say yes, because that's just a generic answer. Because it actually the FMC will read it if you give a reason why.
Yeah, and the people that just write a generic answer like no, it's normally people that were on CDL Life or some other, Facebook group, or they've seen it somewhere where it may be a little bit one-sided, and they don't understand exactly what Lee's asking for. So they're just like, no. You have to write an excuse or a reason why you give the answer you do, whether it's yes or no. And then that better helps the FMCSA understand, and Lee and Lisa, or anybody else for that matter, applying for any kind of exemption, what is it that people really think about the trucking industry? And let them know, too. I say no, I am a trucker, I say no, and this is why. Or I am a trucker, I say yes, and this is why. It's very important that you give an explanation.
My favorite reason for no that I've seen so far is, oh, he thinks he's special. The rules should apply to him, too. And it's like the FMCSA grants exemptions to their rules every single day. You have mega fleets asking now. The latest one is they want an exemption from the training standards. There's hearing exemptions granted. There's epilepsy exemptions granted. So it's not that the rules apply to everyone. The rules apply, but exemptions are carved out. So it's legal to file an exemption, and they tell you how to do it in the Green Book. If they didn't want exemptions filed, they wouldn't tell you how to do it. It's laid out specifically, do this, do this, do this. And that's what we did.
Well,
and it got published.
And what people need to understand, too, when the FMCSA get their little committees together and they start they get the politicians together and they start coming up with regulations and rules and regulations, those rules and regulations are pushed by lobbyist groups and special interest groups. And they make these rules and regulations as a one-size-fits-all regulation and thinking that, okay, we're going to curb this or we're going to curb that. What they're fully expecting is trucking companies and certain sectors of the trucking industry to put in an exemption and explain why they want an exemption, because that blanket regulation or legislation doesn't fit what they do, doesn't work for what they do, and would cause hardship on that business or company or make them dangerous. In Lee's case, doesn't make him dangerous per se, but it kind of does in a way when he doesn't get the rest he needs or he has to sit for 2 hours twiddling his thumbs because the regulations say, well, we know you got a good night's sleep and you're well rested, but you should sit there for another 2 hours because the computer says you're still tired. That's what those exemptions are for, is to explain why you need an exemption. And again, Lee and Lisa are not out of line asking for this exemption by any means, based off of what they do. What else would you like to explain about that, you guys? Oh, is that Chris?
Yeah, I was just going to add here, for those that follow us on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show page, I have posted a direct link on our page that will take you straight to the document question.
Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, so you can go on our Facebook page, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I'm on there as a member. I'm not on there as a admin or moderator. Me and Chris will work on that probably tomorrow or sometime during the week. Kind of how I am on the Disrespected Trucker Facebook page, where I am just for pre-approved to post, even though both pages are something that I got going, doesn't matter. Based off of me getting booted off of Facebook the last time, it's better off if we just have people that we trust on both pages that run the pages, and I just am able to comment when I need to comment, and I'm not actually an admin or a moderator on those pages. So just because you don't see me as the admin or moderator does not mean that I'm not involved on the page. So for those of you that are listening, either page, the Disrespected Trucker or the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, you'll see more posts of mine on the radio show. Just to give you the link, I will not be posting anything that we're going to be talking about because Facebook has they've got a real big hard on for me right now, and I got to watch what I say and how I say it.
We had to boot you off your own page just because you kept getting us in trouble.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Facebook gods don't like me.
I had to delete one of your posts today.
Oh, I've seen which one because it said content wasn't available. I see it pop up as soon as I seen that.
Sorry, I just didn't want the group to get shut down because you were sharing something that a fact checker had on there. So,
and that is why I'm not an admin or a moderator, because we have admins on there that are very capable of watching Jeremy, because I need a babysitter because I have diarrhea of the mouth.
We just don't want the whole group to disappear just because you're
not
Jeremy.
No, and actually that post wasn't even about me being, sharing my opinion. It was actually a video off a trucker feed that I shared where a trucker was going down. I think it was what's that pass out in California, that big one?
Grapevine.
El Cajon.
it was one of those big passes, it looked like to me, to be out in California. And there was a guy on the shoulder in a semi, a guy in the right lane, had his Jakes going, rolling down the hill at a reasonable speed. There's cars flying by him on the left, and this guy pulls right out in front of him in the semi that was on his shoulder. And the guy in the had the dash cam, who was doing everything he should have been doing, he's like, I can't move over. And you can't slam on your brakes when you're going down a big hill or a big mountain. You'll burn your brakes up, and then you're screwed. So he went around him on the right on the shoulder because he couldn't get over it on the left. And this guy that pulled out in front of him called him every name in the book for being in, and you could tell that he was one of those the sheiks, or, you know, by his accent. And I'm not trying to pick on them, but you could just tell by his accent. The guy that pulled out in front of the other guy, which you could tell was just a regular, you know, white truck driver or whatever. You could just by the voice. And I don't want to mean to make it into race, but I observe. Anyway, so the guy goes around him on his shoulder, gets in front of him, and he goes, listen, dude, when you see I can't get over, you can't just pull out in front of me. And that the guy that pulled out in front of him said, you're a dumb motherfucker, and blah, 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 and call him every name in the book. And that's the video I shared, and apparently Trucker Feed must have took that off because of the language in it. I contemplated on sharing it, and I thought, you know what, no. That stuff needs to be shared. People need to see, regardless of the language in it. Sometimes you just got to close your ears and put your earmuffs on, but you have to see how these people are driving nowadays. I've witnessed it on I-44 a million times, go down Oklahoma City, where somebody will be on a shoulder. There's nowhere for you to go, and they don't gain speed on the shoulder. They just pull right out in front of you, and they don't care. And I've slammed on my brake. It's not safe.
Yeah. These guys are going 3 miles an hour.
Building up speed.
Yeah, the shoulder, at least use what you can of the shoulder in a safe manner to get yourself up to the 35, 45 mile an hour range as your left blinker is on. So that at least I see you moving. I see that you're trying to get on. I can back out of it a little bit and slow down where I'm not creating a traffic hazard for the people that behind me. But you're creating a traffic hazard by jumping out in lane of travel at 3 miles an hour when we're all doing 70, 75. There's people that are getting killed out here because of those horrible decisions. You guys have seen that, haven't you, Lee and Lisa?
Oh, yeah. A few times. A few times.
I have that happen to me all the time. Oversized load. Because if you're going to jump out in front of a truck, you know, going that slow when you see one coming down the road, probably the one that has the big yellow banner that says oversized load with the flashing yellow lights and the big fluorescent orange flags that is probably well over 80,000 gross pounds, that's not the truck to jump out in front of, but they will do it to me time and time again anyway.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. And the fact of the matter is a lot of those guys that jump out in front of people, they don't realize the semis that they're jumping out in front of. Number one, they're a semi driver. They should understand that semis just can't stop on a dime, but they pull out in front of you anyway. But number two, this is how truck drivers get killed, that are hauling rebar on a flatbed or
coils.
Help
coils.
Me out here, the coils. Yeah.
Coils.
They slam
on
the brakes. Those chains, they cannot hold that load when you slam on your brakes like that. What happens? Those beams or rebar or whatever they got on coils, especially the coils, all of it, goes right through the back of that sleeper and impales the driver and kills them because you made one decision because you're too impatient. You couldn't wait for another minute, another 4 minutes, whatever it may take, to enter the roadway legally and safely. It just drives me absolutely nuts how crazy it's gotten out here in the last 5 years.
My favorite
is
the guy who missed his exit. So he turned around in one of those U-turns in the center to get to his exit. He pulled right in front of us. That's my favorite one. It's like, are you serious? Because you missed your exit. It was pretty hairy there for a few seconds. Fortunately, my husband's a very safe driver, so we were all good. But
there was one out in Wisconsin, where you guys are from, on the other side of the state, of course, where he missed his exit and he was trying to back up, and another truck rear-ended him and killed the driver. Like, listen, you miss your exit. Go to the next exit. Turn around.
But
come
isn't
back.
That, if, is that, isn't that a, an effect of the 14-hour clock? Because our time is so limited. This is what is causing.
Absolutely it is.
And I argued with someone today that just because you drive legal does not mean it is safe. And I told them,
exactly.
I said, the FMCSA even agrees with that. Oh, no, they don't. I'm like, yeah, they do. Because we were in a meeting, Lee, do you remember, with MCSAC, and FMCSA agreed that compliance does not equal safety. If it did, the accidents would have been going down over the past few years when we've gotten all these regulations. And they're not. They're not.
No, it's just increased the madness out here in the, on the highways. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening over your internet, if you're not on the phone line already and you want to add to the conversation, we have a few minutes left with Lisa Lee Schmidt. The phone number to call in is 516-387-1733. Make sure you press the number 1. And again, if you have your pen and paper out writing down that phone number, please take down this information. regulations.gov, and then when you get to the search bar, search the docket number 20, just type this in, 2022-12467, and we have until Saturday. Is it all day Saturday that we people can comment, or is it until Friday at midnight?
I've been telling everybody comment now, but yeah, it's Saturday at midnight.
Yeah. Don't wait till the last minute. Get it in.
Right. Yeah.
Because
so okay. So
wrong.
It's Thursday now. Yeah, it's Thursday night. Let's just say you've got all day tomorrow to get it done. But please get it done. Please go to regulations.gov, search 2022-12467. Put your excuse. Yes, this is why. No, this is why. Let's get an honest opinion of. And read the docket. Read. Make sure you read what his exemption is before you make up your decision. Don't jump on the bandwagon with people that are trying to gaslight you or you know, use propaganda against you. Read the docket. Understand the docket, the exemption. And then put your honest opinion in there. That's what it's for. So we have to do
the
that.
The government is
and
asking
if you wanna...
for your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and your honest
opinion.
Opinion.
For crying out loud, give it. Yeah.
People have become lazy and well, it doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't matter because everybody has the attitude that it doesn't matter. So nobody goes into the comment period. They did, I see. I want to say they had 14,000 or 16,000 comments under the speed limiter rule that just ended or is going to end. I think they extended it, didn't they, Lisa?
That's next week, yeah. That's next week. And there's
next
like 40,000 comments on there. And even Lee's exemption request, yes, even on Lee's exemption request, you know, in talking with the FMCSA, they're happy to see so many comments. There's 600 comments on our exemption request. So, I mean, the government's asking for your opinion, for crying out loud, give it. If you don't make a comment, I do not want to hear you say, oh, the government never listens to us. Here's your chance. They want to listen to you. Tell them what you think. Even if you disagree with our exemption, we're okay with that.
They think that making a comment under a Facebook story under CDL Life or wherever is their comment. FMCSA could give two shits less of what – yeah, they're not looking for comments under CDL Life. They're looking for your comments under the official page so it's documented and they have all the information they need in whether to make a yes or a no decision on an exemption or a rule such as the speed limiter. So it's very important that you go to regulations.gov. It's very important that you type in the right docket number, which again is 2022-12467, and write your honest opinion or thoughts on it.
The other thing people need to be aware of, when you write your comment, number one, it's public. Anyone else can see it. So if you want to write your comment anonymously, that's cool. Go for it. But that goes to the Federal Register, and it will be there forever. So in 10 years from now, if you want to tell somebody, yeah, this guy got an exemption request, and I made a comment, you can look up your comment, and it'll still be there 10 years from now.
Well, and not to mention, what happens if Lee asked for this exemption, and 2 years down the road, somebody gets in an accident where he was basically being legal, according to the ELDs, and he makes says, you know what, hey, if I would have had this exemption, or if I would have been able to do this, or, you know, you can go back and say, there was a guy that asked for an exemption at one time, explaining why he wanted this. This is why. This is why. This is a direct result of what your blanket legislation does. It causes the roads to be unsafe. And Lee Schmidt, back in 2022, asked for an exemption, and you guys denied him. You guys are at fault for this now. FMCSA, I'm talking
right.
about. All that stuff, it's good to have that recorded. And your comment on there, if you agreed with Lee and Lisa, you can go back and say, you know what? See that accident that just happened at I-90 in 2024? This guy, I remember commenting under his exemption. I agreed with the guy, and now look what happened. You know what? This is all recorded. That's why it's so important to get on there and make your voice heard.
Well, here's another aspect. If people disagree with the exemption and we still get it, this will be on the record. And if he gets the exemption and for some strange odd reason he gets in an accident, then they can say, well, look, that exemption made him not safe.
But
exactly right. Go ahead, Lee.
Even if I have the exemption, if something's not safe, I'm not going to do it. I've been that way my entire life. And if nothing else, I want to emphasize to people, don't let any companies push you. If you feel unsafe or you're tired, piss on it. You don't have to go. You don't have to
move. And they can't make you.
Yeah. I've said that my entire life. People are like, well, companies push you. No, they don't. You let them push you. I'm driving that truck. If I don't feel safe, I'm going to stop no matter what. Doesn't matter to me about any load. There's no load worth my life in any situation.
Well, and it's also called driver coercion. They cannot force you to drive in bad weather. They cannot drive force you to drive when you feel unsafe to drive. And that means if you have unsafe equipment and they refuse to do anything about it, your company, you can say, I'm not driving this truck until you fix my brake chamber, or I'm not driving this truck until you replace this tire. If it's found to be unsafe and they force you to drive, yes. So you know your laws and your rules and your regulations and know your rights. Now, it doesn't mean you can be lazy and say, well, I worked 7 hours today and I'm tired and I'm just going to say that I got a bald tire. Well, you got to prove that you have a bald tire and that it was unsafe to drive, number one. Number two, don't be lazy. Don't take advantage of something, a fail-safe that's there to protect you and make it worse on the rest of us. If you don't like driving trucks,
well,
get the hell out of it.
The company will see through that after a while and you'll lose your job. So that's the way
right.
that works.
Yep.
And what
so,
I was going to say before that I want to get out now quick before we end, I just want anybody that's been involved in trucking advocacy to step up, go file a comment. You know, we've all been doing this. We've all said, well, if somebody ever would just change things, we'd stand behind it. Well, here's your chance.
Say, Kim, I see Greg is on the line. Did he want to talk? Greg, if you're listening, if you would push the number one, that way I want to make sure
Jeremy,
I get you on here. I got a few minutes left. Yes.
Jeremy, I had texted you that he did want to talk, so yeah.
Okay, yeah, he just raised his hand now.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kim.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, I'm going to bring Greg Anderson on. Greg Anderson has stood side by side with us. He's been in advocacy for quite some time, and let's get Greg on and let's hear what Greg has to say about Lee's exemption or his opinion in general. Greg, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good.
I happen
That's
to
awesome.
Know that Greg hasn't made a comment yet, but he's going to shortly.
Yeah,
he's
it'll
going
be Friday,
to
I reckon.
Be phenomenal. Yeah.
I've got my own private secretary does all my comment, and I'm so busy, so. But I think Lee is, you know, back in 17, Lee had mentioned this to me back in, I guess, when we started fighting ELD or me, and he had this idea from way back in the day. I remember we talked about it, and I think it's a phenomenal idea. Win or lose, it makes a statement. People do need to get behind it. People need to get behind anything that any truckers do, period. It's just important. You know, the thing about it, and I'm preaching to the choir, I know I am right now, but the problem that I have with trucking in general is I'm riding down the road right now. There's a Prime truck in front of me, FedEx, so on, and several mega carrier trucks right here where I'm at. I'm been driving going on 34 years. December make me 34 years out here. I'm held to the same regulation as this guy right here that may have just started this week to the same table. If I ran a ELD, which I don't, but I would be at the same level he is. This is the only industry in the world that you don't get nothing for, well, I'm not going to say good behavior, but safe driving.
Right.
You know, this is the only industry that you can come in and be an equal to a guy that's done this for 40 years, and this is your first day. And even on the pay scale, too, in a lot of cases. And to the FMCSA, I've dealt with them, each and every one of us here has, and many others. I don't agree with nothing they do. The only thing I have seen and I'm witness in the last 7 years is the roads has got more unsafe. And getting to the point of understanding what the FMCSA really is took some time for me to understand that they're just a middle guy and a way for the government to embezzle money through them. And I said that out loud, too. They can law me if they want. I don't care. But that's what I see. That's my opinion. They are not about safety. They're not, for one, they're supposed to be safety over all roads. I don't see them doing nothing to these vehicles out here that cause 80% of the wrecks. They do nothing to them. But they hold us at a higher standard than an airplane pilot or a guy that works in a nuclear power plant. Because why? We're a rolling cash cow. Everything they do is going to cost us a little bit of money, and we give it. We give it. We give it.
Yep.
Over and over and over. And it's going to get worse because we've allowed them just to keep bending us over. And it's going to get worse. And safety's going to get worse-er, as bad as I hate to say it, because they have no standard.
I spoke with a gentleman this morning that said he's not for the regulations, and anything that we can do to weaken them in just a little bit, this exemption is a fine example of that. And so he was going to go make his comment this afternoon, too. But
right.
He said that, you know.
You know,
and that's what
you
needs
say,
to happen.
And it's common knowledge.
I have been running interstate for 34 years. I started running interstate in 1988. So
yeah.
We just threw 30 years as an example. But interstate's been 34 years. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And for the people that listens to your show that don't understand FMCSA, it's our governing body. They're supposed to make things safer. We're supposed to be able to work with them, communicate with them, and give ideals that make things safer. And many of us have given them real-world things that would make it safer, and not one of them's ever been implemented. They don't listen to a trucker. And that would be, for an analogy, if you're going to a doctor, excuse me, and you got to have brain surgery, are you going to go to your banker to perform that brain surgery? Absolutely not. You're not. You're not going to do it. We've got people telling us how to be safe that has never, maybe they may have sat in a truck, but they've never driven a truck. They say they know trucking, but they have no real-world experience. And we've asked and begged for a seat at the table up there to help make real-world rules and regulations that would work and make America's highway safer. But the problem is we're not millionaires. We're not in their cabal. We're not with the ATA that gives everyone money to get what they want. And that's the point I want to make to the people that don't understand trucking.
No, and you're right. We've been fighting this stuff for years, and they just think we're a bunch of dumb truck drivers that don't know what we're talking about. But in all reality, we're the ones out here doing the job. We're not lobbyists. We're just guys that see that are concerned about what's going on out here on the road. And our families travel the same roads your families travel. The same roads that we're on. When you guys go to a trip to the Wisconsin Dells, or you want to go down and see the St. Louis Arch, you want to go down and see the Grand Canyon, we travel these roads every single day. We see how people are driving, truck drivers, especially, well, everybody. According to the NHTSA, is it the NHTSA or the NHTSB, whatever the hell their alphabet name is, 82% of vehicle accidents involving big trucks are caused by the car. But yet now I see next week they're doing another safety blitz on the semis again. Every other month they're doing another safety blitz on unsafe driving. Is there unsafe driving in this industry? Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. But I see a hell of a lot more unsafe driving caused by four-wheelers, or four-wheelers that are being aggressive that eventually cause a truck driver to lose his patience and have a road rage, in which isn't okay. However, I understand it. I swear nonstop going down I-44 because these people drive like frickin' morons. But we have to remember that every rule and regulation that's put out there, they do it as a one-size-fits-all, and it just simply does not work that way. It can't work that way. It has never worked that way. They just need to start listening to us. But you guys, I do have to get off of here in a couple minutes. I'm bringing on Travis Bull Johnson from the state of Minnesota. He's running for district number Minnesota number 7 against Michelle Fischbach. And he's going to be on here to discuss what he can do better to better serve the great state of Minnesota. So Lee and Lisa, I'll get to you in a second. Greg, I want to thank you for calling and sharing your opinion. As always, brother, I always appreciate your thoughts and opinion.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. You guys have a good night, and God bless y'all.
All right, catch you later, brother.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, that was Greg Anderson. He's been an advocate for the trucking industry, a damn strong one, and we sure appreciate him. Lisa and Lee, as always, you know, we've become friends through the trucking advocacy, and hell, I was a guest at your house last weekend, and again, I appreciate that, and thank you so much for coming on and sharing what exemption that you filed for, the docket number and all that stuff. And hopefully, we have a few truckers that were listening tonight that will get on there. Even if you're not a trucker, get on there and share your opinion. Let's start change grassroots style, just like we always have tried. And this is the best way to do it. So, Lisa and Lee, thank you guys so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Have a good night, guys. See ya. Okay, that was Lisa and Lee Schmidt, everybody. They're owner-operators. They own their own truck. They filed an exemption with the FMCSA. Go to regulations.gov, search the docket number 202-12467, and read the docket, understand the docket, and make sure you leave your comment in the comment period. You have all day today, the rest of the day, and all day tomorrow. It ends Saturday, so let's just get in there and get it done. I'm going to go in there later after the show, after I get done with our post-show meeting with Chris and Kim, and do the same thing. Now we're just waiting for Travis Bull Johnson to call in. I told him 8:15, so he should be calling in here any minute. While we're doing that, Chris, you've been awfully quiet over there, and that's because I talk a lot. But let me give you a few minutes here to say what you want to say about what we just talked about?
Well, you know, for the uninitiated, those that are not involved in the industry, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to accept as truth. One of those being the ATA, the American Trucking Association. A lot of people think they represent the truck drivers. They do not. They represent the major trucking corporations. And their interest is only a financial interest. And so what you'll find is you'll find the ATA backing a whole lot of regulations that at their core are really just designed to more or less bankrupt a lot of the smaller trucking companies so that they can pick up more market share. And the ATA companies, they do not like having a whole lot of experienced drivers because experienced drivers want more money. And so they're perfectly happy. And one example of this would be Schneider. I know years ago when I worked for Schneider, they told you that over 80% of their drivers, I think the actual number was like 86% of their entire fleet, okay, and this is a company that has like 15,000 trucks on the road, 86% of their entire fleet had less than a year's worth of experience, and that's because by the time you have a year's worth of experience, you can take that and you can go to a different company and make a lot more money than what Schneider's willing to pay. And they're fine with that because they want that turnover rate. They don't want a bunch of experienced drivers that want more money. They want as many drivers at the bottom of the pay scale as they can have because that is cheap labor. And that is what that's what the ATA pushes, and that's who's paying the FMCSA. Nobody's buying safety. Everybody is buying cheap labor or sell our gadgets, like Qualcomm, for example. I mean,
right.
A company that rhymes with Qualcomm, but it sounds a lot like Qualcomm. You know, donating millions of dollars in campaign contributions to the members of the transportation committee that
we got Travis on board here, by the way, Chris.
Oh, we got Travis. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead and bring it up. Bring him up then.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry, man, but I don't want to waste Travis's time. I see how busy of a man he is, and man, I couldn't even imagine. You know, when we're getting ready for events and stuff, whether we're going down to peacefully, you know, protest regulations or whatever, it's a shit show before you get going down there. But so we're going to switch gears from the trucking industry now, and we're going to go right to candidate for Congress, Travis Bull Johnson, in Minnesota, district number 7, which happens to be part of my district. Travis, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. How are you doing tonight, my brother?
Man, I'm doing great. I was listening into the part of your show earlier, and I mean, it dovetails a lot with my livestock producer. We deal with the same type of issue with the major livestock corporations trying to squeeze out the little guys via regulation so they can pick up more market share.
Okay, so tell us that I'm glad that you brought that up right away, Travis, because there's obviously we have so many issues with federal government, state government, all the way down to our local governments. Tell us, let's start off. I want to go back to your small livestock production that you're from the Crookston area. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm up near Crookston, 30 minutes or so east of Grand Forks.
Okay, yeah, east of Grand Forks. But I want to get back to that, but I want to start off so people that are listening into our program tonight can understand who is Travis Johnson. Travis, give us a little background of who you are, what got you into politics, what made you want to run for politics?
Well, it wasn't a matter of making me want to run as much as it felt like I had to. I'm a 20. Give you an idea. I'm a 20-year Army veteran. I from the enlisted side of the house. I retired up here to Western Minnesota in 2018. Originally, I'm from Louisiana, but my wife is from here, and the in-laws pretty much said, "Hey, if y'all want to retire here, we'll go ahead and basically give you 40 acres of land to use for your retirement to start your small farm that you want to do." And I'll be honest with you, being from Louisiana, when they first said that, I'm here going 40 acres, Minnesota winner. 40 acres, Minnesota winner. eventually, the 40 acres did win out. But I will tell you this much. Of course, first thing I did when I got here is I got some cattle, I got some pigs, I got some goats. I mean, as soon as I hit the ground here, and, of course, I did not have all of my heated water systems or any of that running yet. That first Minnesota winter, I'm out there carrying buckets of water outside to make sure everybody's got water all through that first Minnesota winter. I was questioning my life choices at that point.
Yeah, I bet you were.
It got a lot easier than that, but I tell that story all the time because people are like, "Well, you're not from here. How are you going to understand Minnesota?" I tell them that story, and they go, "Okay, you're honorary Minnesotan. You've done your time. You now know what it's like up here." And so we did that in 2018. I had some run-ins during that first couple of years with my local zoning office. Because I had wanted to build a livestock shelter near the on my property that we could store hay in part of the year and somewhere for the animals to run to be able to get out of the weather in the winter. And I wanted to build it near the front of my property so that when I had to get in and out of there, I wasn't having to move a lot of snow. Well, the county commissioners came back and said, well, no, you cannot build anything within 150 feet of the road because of zoning regulations. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And the zoning people are, well, this is what the laws are here. If you don't like it, you can go talk to the county commissioners. So I got on their docket, and I went in there one day, and I'm like, hey, why do y'all need 150? If you could explain to me why you need 150 feet from the road that I can't build on, you give me a good reason for it, I'll walk out of here, you won't hear me again. Half an hour later, they were still trying to come up with a reason. And finally, one of them finally said, well, we may want to extend that road to a four-lane someday. It's a gravel county road. But that was the best example they could come up with on why I couldn't build within 150 feet of the road.
And there's bureaucrats at its finest right there.
Exactly. So at that time, I went ahead and said, and they're like, well, if you want to change it, you can go this route, or you can change that, or you can do it this route, or you can put in for this exemption, and told me about all these administrative BS ways that I could maybe get this changed with enough money for exact acting exemptions and so forth. And I said, there's one other way to change it. They're like, what's that? I can come out here and replace one of you jokers. So I decided to run for county commissioner. Of course, that's the same time frame that COVID kicked in. So here I am, a import, running against a local county commissioner who's been there for 20 years during COVID when I couldn't really campaign. And we still took 33-35% of the vote. I mean, a lot of the locals were like, damn, you did great considering this is the conditions you were running in. But at that point, he's like, you know what, I'm done. I'm not going to fool with this anymore. I mean, I retired to do my farm. I retired to come out here and take care of my animals and so forth. Well, then 2020 rolled around. And after the election, I mean, I started seeing after the 2020 election, I just started seeing how badly the two parties were tearing the country apart. I mean, they're only worried about their own control. Or their own power, and they're willing to burn down the country just as long as they're the ones who are standing over the ashes. And I didn't think that was right. There's a lot of things that went on in the 2020 election in this district that I thought was wrong and showed a lack of integrity from some of the candidates and their teams. And integrity is something that's always been fairly important to me, as well as character. And I started going, how do we fix this? I mean, what do we do? And it finally got to the point of saying, you know what? If not me, who? If not now, when? We got to do something. If we want to save our country, we can't let this continue to go on. So I did a quick look at, okay, this district and so forth, and say, if I ran, what's the best way for me to run? And would I actually have a chance? Because I'm not planning on wasting my money and wasting my time for a protest vote. I don't do that. So when we started looking at the numbers, and we looked at the percentage of votes that Donald Trump got in this district, and it was somewhere between 65% to 70%, depending on if you're talking before or after redistricting. That was an important number for us, because basically what that means is the GOP cannot use the if I run outside the two-party system, which is what I was planning on doing. They can't use the whole argument of a vote for you means the Democrats are going to win, because 30% won't win this district. Everybody who voted against Donald Trump last term can vote for the Democratic candidate, and that's assuming I don't get any of them voting for me. And they're still going to come in. They're still not going to win. So they can't. It was a case of that took the biggest bullet out of the gun of the political parties as to why a third party couldn't win. I had numerous people try to say, hey, what primary Michelle Fischbach, come in, and run against her that way. And the math, and that was a case where the math did not work out. We started looking in the math, and we know for primary, you have a lot less turnout. You're in a primary, only the people who are voting in that, say the Republicans, could vote in that primary, and you probably have 60% of the people who are going to vote strictly based off of who the endorsed candidate is. And I knew there was no way I was going to be the endorsed candidate. The GOP in Minnesota is just too crooked to let that happen. So I knew there was no chance of me winning a primary. But coming in from outside the party, I started looking what we did at the math. So like, yeah, there is a legitimate chance, because there's enough people who are upset here. There's enough people who don't feel like they're represented. There's enough grassroots, and I'll call them Ron Paul type Republicans, that don't feel that they're being represented by the GOP anymore, who my platform will resonate with a lot more. Say, you know what? Yeah, there is a chance. And then we started looking at, okay, if we did this, if we won, are we going to be able to make it? Is that going to make a difference? Or are we wasting our time? And when we started looking at it, we started looking, okay, if a third party can win a congressional election, it will change the whole thought process, because now it's going to change the whole thing with the two parties saying that a third party cannot win. Because it will show
them
that they
did. Let me just intervene here, if you don't mind, Travis. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want our audience to understand what the 7th District of Minnesota is.
Mm-hmm.
It is Minnesota's largest congressional district. It's basically the whole west side of the state, almost pretty much cut right down the middle to the west, except for a few counties in the south. I happen to be in Travis's congressional district. Now, something you need to understand about this district, it's mostly Republican voters. Michelle Fischbach currently holds the seat, okay? But Colin Peterson owned this seat for 30 years, and he's a Democrat. And I'll tell you why. The Democratic Party has switched in Minnesota in the rural parts in the last 30 years. Right now in this area, we are 64.13% rural and 35.87% urban, which means two-thirds of this is rural. And a lot of those rural is farmers in the state of Minnesota, and they most all of them used to vote Democrat, but we have seen a flip in the last, not I shouldn't even say in the last 30 years, I would say in the last 10 years we've seen a flip, and you could see Colin Peterson's numbers decline quite, I mean it wasn't drastic, but it was steadily for the last 5 to 10 years, which is why he lost out to Michelle Fischbach. And the election of 2020 really kind of put the nail in the coffin. I mean, he ran again in 2020, but it's not that the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show or even Travis himself hate Michelle Fischbach or think she's doing an absolute horrible job. We are tired of the two-party system, and I want to get to a caller, Travis, if you don't mind, because he has a question for you. He's actually a friend of mine, and he's not in your – I don't think he's in your district. He's close, but he has a good question about Michelle Fischbach, and he can correct me if I'm wrong about him not being in your district, but I'm pretty sure he is. Anyway, myself, personally, am tired of the two-party system. I seen Travis come along. I started watching his stuff quite a few months back. And I agree with a lot of stuff you say. Is there some stuff I disagree with you with? Absolutely. But I'm not here to be argumentative with you because I know that 100% of the time you're never going to vote or you're never going to agree with a candidate. But if you can really find that candidate that you most align with, boy, you're on to something. And I personally align a lot with what Travis has to say. But let me we got Kevin on the line. Kevin is his name. He's a friend of mine. He wanted to ask you a few questions, which I thought were fair questions. So go ahead, Kevin. You got the floor with Travis Bull Johnson from Minnesota's 7th Congressional District.
Well, hello, Travis, and thank you, Jeremy and Chris and everyone there for having me on here. I didn't expect that I would be making a phone call on this topic on a trucking station. I really wanted to call in when Lisa and Lee were on. I had some talk to go there, but that'll be another time. But, Travis, I'll take you back to 2 days ago. A friend of mine shared a post on Facebook, and it involved the outdoor news. And anybody that knows me from the trucking industry, they know that I believe hunting, fishing, outdoors, wild foraging, anything outdoors with my kids, everything.
Right.
And I'll go further with that is that I was a strong Michelle Fischbach. The party lines changed here. I'm in Todd County. This used to be when them lines changed. I do believe John Poston is now in my district. It took me over here instead of Michelle. But that said,
actually, Michelle, Todd, I think you might be in mine.
Well, I'm
because this is U.S. Congress we're talking about.
Okay. Well, Todd,
so Todd,
if
Todd
I see you on
the
ballot, 7th
district, I believe.
Okay. Well, I'll be doing some digging and some checking. But this issue here, I'm a strong Michelle Fischbach supporter, and until 2 days ago, when I read something, I was kind of shocked. And this goes nationwide to the if you're familiar with the Pittman-Robertson Act, and there was an article put out in the Outdoor News where Michelle Fischbach and a bunch of Republicans are supporting removing the Pittman-Robertson Act, and that's a sour note to any outdoorsman. It's bad. Bad news.
Can you educate me a little bit on it?
What's that?
Can you educate me a little bit on it? I'm not familiar with it.
Well, it was put in place where the proceeds from, you know, our hunting and fishing licenses and things like that are utilized to purchase lands and give us access to hunting and fishing accesses and things like that. And there's been some misappropriation of funds. And I don't know where it's from and how it's happened, but I believe the Republicans are strongly in support of removing the act, thinking that that's the problem, whereas the misappropriation of funds is actually the problem. We don't want to remove the act because we don't want to lose future revenue for, our hunting and fishing lands, our accesses, our anything that we could benefit from in that angle. I think it's a bad approach,
Kevin,
and it's bad timing.
Kevin, if you don't mind, I'm gonna interrupt you for just 2 seconds, and I apologize. Okay. I am going to send this link over to Travis as we're on the line while you're explaining it.
Okay.
So I sent it over to you, Travis, so you can click on that link and kind of just scroll over it as he's talking about it. It'll maybe help you understand a little bit what he's talking about. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Well, that's pretty much the gist of it anyhow. But, I mean, I had to work today. I put on 624 miles, went out to Bismarck and back, and I've got my kids, and I'm trying to spend time with them before I leave for over the road this weekend. And I haven't been able to dig a lot into it other than what I've read in the outdoor news column. And, you know, that one article there in itself, it just kind of stumped me, and it set me in my tracks. Like, I can't believe they're doing this. And it's
well,
not
I,
something.
Well, I did read the article, Kevin, and it is said in the article that a majority of the DNR funds are taken from hunting licenses and fishing licenses. Yeah. I did see that what they're trying to do is stop the tax on on that. And would it hurt? I do believe you're right. I didn't read the article in depth. I kind of scrolled over it, kind of like, Travis is probably going to have to do right now because we're on air, but
right.
I didn't even think to send that to him, and I forgot that you'd send that. I did read it. But anyway, there's a lot of things that are important to a lot of people in the state of Minnesota, voters, especially in Minnesota with outdoorsmen. My grandpa was a very avid outdoorsman, very similar to you, Kevin. He's the one that taught me how to hunt and fish, and my dad taught me how to fish, but as far as hunting, it was my grandpa. It's very important that we don't give up that, so future generations can learn the same thing. It almost seems to me, with a lot of things going on in the world today, they're trying to get away from what's the word I'm looking for? Generational things that we taught our kids, or that our kids got taught, we got caught or taught, and so on and so forth. I happen to agree with you, Kevin, and I'm trying to free up a little bit of time so Travis can read that article as much as he can.
It's been in place since 1937. There hasn't been anything wrong with it, and there hasn't been misappropriation of funds up until recently. And, you know, it's not broke. The part that's broke is the misappropriation. Where did that start? That's the questions that I have is where, when did that change? When did they start, you know, when did they start misappropriating those funds? Because that revenue and those taxes and everything should be utilized for one specific thing, and not be, you know, going to roads and bridges or anything else.
Right. There you go, Travis.
From reading the article, I mean, because I've got some concerns with it after reading the article. So say I'm Joe Blow and I carry a pistol for self-defense and I go to the range to practice every two or three times a month or or a quarter. Why should I be paying 10 to 11% tax on that ammunition and that pistol to go to hunting and to buy hunting and fishing land? That's my question that's what basically the Pittman Act is. It plates a 10 to 11% sales or additional tax on all firearms, archery, or ammunition. So, I mean, why should people who don't hunt and fish be responsible for buying more land for hunting and fishing?
You know, it covers all angles of that entire bill there. But, you know, I get what you're saying there too.
That was the main part
that goes to
the
range and does a lot of shooting. I don't have a problem with that 11% tax when I buy ammunition if it's going towards range use or whatever it is. I don't care. As long as it's not going to, paint street curbs or wherever it's going where it shouldn't be going.
No, I understand that. I mean, I think the act I like what the act is trying to do because again I'm an outdoorsman myself. I mean I like to hunt and fish and so forth and that's why when I get my license tags every year it's the wildlife tags on there so that money does go back into that pot in the same way when a lot of times, even though I may not need a license to cover everything, I normally get more than I need on my hunting license because, again, I know where the money's going.
Right, right.
And I don't have an issue with that. I mean, but I do have, I mean, being somebody who's kind of a more or less a libertarian, I think, because when you buy a license or you buy this specialized license plate, you're choosing to, you're volunteering to put this money towards this project.
Right.
If you're forced on any time you buy a gun or an ammo, you're not choosing that.
Right.
And that's where my concerns are. Is the fact that it's just on, I mean, even if it was on hunting rifles or shotguns, okay, something that is typically used for hunting, I can live with that a little bit easier. But for it to be across the board, I've got a little bit of heartburn with it. Now, would I repeal it? Not unless I probably would not be sponsoring to repeal it. But
okay.
I probably would be sponsoring to, hey, you know what, let's adjust this, because I think 90% of it, that when you start talking about the licensing fees and stuff like that, we don't want to cancel that. We don't want to get rid of that unless we've got a way to replace it. And it is a much better idea to one, make sure that the money that's allocated for that goes to that.
Right.
That's kind of waste and abuse that I want to get involved, that I want to stop.
When it comes to this article that was written in Outdoor News, you know, that's a one-sided view. So I would like to talk to Michelle or hear her point of view. I was hoping that she might call into the show or that, you know, I would get an email because I emailed them and I did call them and I left messages. I was hoping to hear back to hear what exactly is the plan, because if you're trying to get rid of an act that was put in place in 1937 and it's been fine up until this point, I want to know what the plan is. Because I totally supported her up until this point. And now I've got to start scrambling before November, because that's a sour note. And I believe that article reached hundreds of thousands of people across the United States. It's not just a Minnesota thing, and it's nationwide. So I hate to even bring it up, because I am a diehard Republican, but this is a very sour note for sportsmen across the United States.
Well, so, and that's my whole problem with a lot of the things they do, is they do these things without a plan. Let's repeal it. Okay, let's not repeal it. Let's amend it and fix the issues that need to be fixed, rather than throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, 1937, you know, it's been doing just fine. So I don't know why we've got to change it now. So.
Yeah,
I want my kids to be able to.
I don't mean to interrupt you again, but I have to move on from this subject, Kevin, if you don't mind.
Yep. No problem.
But no, thank you for calling in, Kevin. And I have to move on because I have a lot to get to with Travis that I wanted to get to. So thank you for calling in, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Before you leave, Kevin, if you want to look me up on Facebook or anything under Bull Johnson, shoot me a message and we can continue this conversation.
Perfect. I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you, sir.
Bye.
All right. I met him in trucking advocacy. This is how I first got started. I went up to St. Paul, Minnesota, to the Capitol in our trucks, and that's how I met Kevin. Kevin's a good dude. But no, I don't want to spend too much on one subject because I'm sure the listeners have there's a million things that they want to hear about what your stances are on different things, and I'm not here to be controversial or to be confrontational.
No.
I want to get out the views that you have so the voters can be more informed on what they're voting for. I did watch a video the other night. I think it was last night, actually, where you were talking about the Roe versus Wade decision. Would you care to go into that for a few minutes and share what your thoughts are on that? And before you do, I want to mention, anybody that is listening over the Internet, you can call in and talk to Travis personally, as long as you're respectful. If you become confrontational, we will disconnect the phone call. because we're not going to allow that. We can have an adult conversation, whether we agree or disagree. But that phone number is 516-387-1733. And once you get through, just press the number 1. Our producer, Kim, will probably get on the line and just ask you what you want to talk about, and then we'll bring you on as soon as we possibly can. So, again, that phone number is 516-387-1733, and we thank Travis Bull Johnson for being here tonight live with us uncensored on Unplugged 7 radio show. So, Travis, go ahead and go into what your thoughts were with the Roe versus Wade.
Yeah. And, man, you're gonna put me in the fire pit of hell here.
Well, I'm not trying to, but you know I know it's a very controversial subject, but you know what? We have to be honest too. I'm not going to share my views with you because it doesn't matter. I'm not running for Congress. You are, so your views matter. My views don't. You know what I mean? So go ahead, brother.
Yep. Well, all right. So the way to understand my thought process on a lot of this is to understand that first and foremost, I'm a constitutional conservative. The Constitution is my North Star. That is, when I think about a legal decision, whether I'm going to vote for something or vote against it or how I'm going to support it, the first thing I look at is this: does this fall within the power that the Constitution gave the federal government? When it comes down to abortion, I don't see anything in the Constitution that gives the federal government any power to rule on that at all. So I do firmly believe that the Supreme Court made the right decision by sending this back to the states. I don't believe it's a federal issue at all, which means that even if Roe versus Wade would not have been overturned, I would have fought any federal dollars ever being spent on it. I would fight any efforts to either A, legalize it at the federal level, or criminalize it at the federal level, because again, I don't believe that the federal government has that authority. So I agreed with Roe versus Wade getting sent back to the states. Now I've still got some concerns on it. I'm pro-life. Okay, I mean, that's just how I believe. I mean, I see the value in life of unborn. But where I have some concerns are the ability, how do we fix that? How do we get to the point where we're not having any abortions? I don't know that prohibition is the answer. Everything that the United States government has tried to prohibit, they have failed and created a black market for it that falls under criminal enterprises instead. We seen it in the 1920s when they tried to prohibit alcohol. That's basically what gave the mafia their foothold in America and their way to start generating income. We've seen it when they tried to outlaw drugs. Well, now you have the cartels who have come back there, and that market still exists. It's still there. We look at it even today on gun-free zones. Well, no, you could pass that law, but is it going to keep guns out of the gun-free zones? Not at all. I mean, it's still going to find a way. And I think abortion will be the same way. We can outlaw it, but I don't think it's actually going to have any real impact on the number of abortions that happen in this country. It's just going to criminalize it and shove it underground. I would much rather see us using our efforts and our money and our on building up the people to value life again. I'd rather address the economic issues that are forcing people to feel like they have to have an abortion. I would like to stop the arguments going on when people are talking about late-term abortions, because truth of the matter is, it doesn't happen unless the mother's life is in danger. So, I mean, this is not something that should be a hot-button issue, because it happens such a small amount of times and almost never without a medical necessity. Same reason, same thing that when we fight so much on making it illegal from birth. I think most people in the United States will say, you know what, yes, it probably should be illegal, but the question is, at what point between conception and birth do we draw that line? I tell a story quite often is a few last year I had a campaign event down in the South in your neck of the woods down there, and I had a room full of conservatives. and the subject of abortion came up. And so I basically said, okay, who here in this room believes abortion should be always illegal no matter what? And I had three or four hands go up. How many of y'all think it should be illegal except for rape or incest? A few more hands came up. How many of y'all think it should be legal until there's a heartbeat? A few more hands up. We basically went through seven or eight categories to determine in this room where people thought it should be illegal. I had a room full of conservatives where I couldn't even get 25% to agree on that point of when it should be. If I can't get a room full of conservatives to agree.
Basically what you're saying is we're not as divided as we think we are on this issue, but the media gaslights us and hypes it up to make it feel like we are either for or against abortion, when that's just that's just not the case. If we just sat at the table and listened to each other and asked those important questions like you just said, I think we would find that we're not as far apart as we think we are on a lot of different matters.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're still going to have your some people and I mean who have a very dug in position. I mean, I think you have that on both sides, and it's like most things. I think your more passionate people are louder people, and they tend to get a lot more attention to it than other things do. But I mean, the biggest issue again I still have with abortion is we need to address why people think they need it. We spent 50 years basically fighting to get Roe versus Wade either thrown overruled or something like that. If we spent those last 50 years and all the money that went to lobbying Congress and everything else for the last 50 years and use that money to address why people thought they needed abortion, or use that money to focus on building up people's value of life, I think we'd be in a whole different situation than we are right now.
Well, and here's the thing too, Travis, is that I think that, you know, through the process of Roe versus Wade, when it was first introduced, it was never meant as a birth control. And the Supreme Court gave an inch to make for an exception. And through the years, a certain party, and I'll call them what they are, they're an extremist vision is what I'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say left or right.
Yep.
I'm just going to say an extremist vision where they have made it to where they want to use it as birth control. And when the other side says, listen, that's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what God teaches us. You're trying to take a mile here. And that's where the butt in the heads comes in. This isn't about God. This isn't about birth control. No. If we just sit down at the table, again, like I said, in the middle, and say, listen, this was never meant for birth control.
Well,
so that's
the
bottom line, in my opinion.
Yep. No, I agree. I mean, I think if you look at over the last 30 or 40 years, the main thing that has changed is the holding people accountable or responsible for their actions. We have seen it with this, where if you're not being responsible with sex, then you may get pregnant, and here's a do-over. You can have an abortion. We see it in schools where they say, well, you can't give them an F. It's bad for their self-esteem. Or you can't give a trophy for this team for winning because everybody needs to get a trophy because it's for their esteem. Well, guess what? I mean, life isn't like that. Life isn't fair.
Right.
But we've basically told people they don't need to be responsible for their actions or lack of actions anymore. On an individual basis.
Correct.
And
another part,
that.
People need to understand too, okay, I hear a lot of the people on the pro-abortion side say it's not a baby until it's born. I disagree with that. I'm not going to call you an idiot or dumb. I'm just going to say I disagree with that. And here's why I disagree with that. If I was a criminal and I walked up to a woman that was pregnant, and I shot her in the stomach, and I killed her and her baby, I'm getting charged with a double homicide. So at what point in time is that considered a baby?
Yep. Look, I specifically use that argument all the time when I explain it to people, specifically in the state of California, because I've looked up what the laws are in California. So I'm like, you know what, that's the most liberal state. Let me see how they address it. And in California, if you kill a, if you shoot a woman who's pregnant at 22 weeks or above, it's double homicide. However, you can legally get an abortion for any for any reason in California up to 24 weeks. What makes a difference in those 2 weeks? Why is one protected and one is not? There's no consistency.
Right. And if it's going to be 22 weeks for a murder, then it needs to be 22 weeks for an abortion.
Well, exactly.
You know,
let's have some consistency. Even if I don't agree with it, at least be consistent.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
And
there
that's
no
the excuse I use all the time.
About it.
How do you, how do you say one life is worth something and the other one is not? And that's where I have
correct.
A lot of my, I mean, that I have that same thing on a lot of these issues as I look at it. And I do my best to be consistent. I mean, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be always consistent as we like. But, I mean, it goes to this whole, even when we start talking about ages to drink or buy a gun or whatever, I mean, why do we have so many different ages of majority? Why is it 18 to vote, but 21 to drink, 21 to buy a gun, but you can sign a contract to join the military at 18? Because you're responsible for
that. I just did a video about this the other night. I think it was last night or maybe it was the night before. But I always hear throughout this pandemic, follow the science, okay? Follow science.
Mm-hmm.
It's not follow the science. It's follow what you're told the science is.
Yep.
That's not science,
yep.
Number one, okay? And I don't want to go into the whole argument about the pandemic and what is right and what's wrong and the mask wearing and all that bullshit. But I do want to go into – if you're going to follow the science states that your brain is not fully developed until 26. And that's what I've been hearing with these anti-gunners and these anti-Second Amendment folks that want to argue the Second Amendment, that you're right. We shouldn't allow people to have AR-15s until they're 21 years old because the brain ain't developed until they're 26. And I think to myself, if the brain ain't fully developed until 26, but you're trying to get them to not be able to buy an AR-15 until they're 21, when right now the legal age is 18 to own a gun. So I'm confused as of what your logic is here, okay? And then I went on to say, if we're following the science, if the brain ain't fully developed till people are 26 years old, then they shouldn't be able to vote. They shouldn't be able to serve in the military and die for their country. They shouldn't be able to smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, or own a firearm until they're 26. And, you know, hell, while we're at it, you probably shouldn't be able to drive a vehicle that is capable of killing people. I mean, we can go right down the line with logic, but we make exceptions for everything, right? But let's not get crazy with the exceptions. Let's not get crazy with what you call your science and what I call my science. Let's call logic what logic is.
Same people who are using that same logic to say why they shouldn't buy a weapon at 21 are trying to get laws changed where you can vote at 16.
Or decide what sex you are.
Age
of five.
I mean, so just I saw something
on
that.
Your brain isn't fully developed. Yeah, it's not that I want to get into that discussion too, but I'm going to briefly touch on it. If your brain isn't developed until 26, how in the hell can you say a 5-year-old has the mental capability of saying they can decide what sex they want to be and whether or not they should start taking hormone pills or have a sex change operation? That's ludicrous to me.
Yeah,
that logic.
And keep in mind, I'm 52 years old. But every time I started hearing these arguments on that for young kids and even middle school, I just think about every female that I knew growing up who was a tomboy.
would that female now be would that female now be being told, well, you know, you actually should be a man because you like thing men do. So does that mean every tomboy we grew up with in today's society would be considered transgender?
Now, and you make a fabulous point there, because I have a friend that I went, my mom knew her mom. I've known her since I was a little kid. I mean, I've known her my whole life. She fits the very definition of being a tomboy, and I don't mean that in any derogatory remarks. But she's, I wouldn't want to fight her. I mean, she'd probably beat the shit out of me, honestly. But I don't think she would say she wants to be a man. I think she likes who she is, and I like who she is. She's a very unique person. And you make a very valid point.
I mean, would society be pushing them today to make that call now?
Today they would, absolutely. Yeah,
I don't think that's right at all. I mean, they haven't done enough or experienced enough to really know this is who I am. I mean, there's no life experiences to base it off of.
Well, we're all different. That's the bottom line. And just because we have traits of something that you would deem, you know, not that I play with dolls, but, I mean, there might be a dude or a kid. I shouldn't say a dude. Hopefully there ain't a dude, but, I mean, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter to me. But if there's a kid that plays with dolls and they're kids are kids. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a pirate. I wanted to be a lot of different things. Thank God that my mom didn't poke my right eye out and give me a wooden leg, you know, and say, well, now you're a pilot or a pirate when I was five. You know, there's kids are growing up and they're confused. And I was confused, hell, until my mid-20s. I really, truly, not confused sexually, but just confused of what I wanted to do with my life and who I was as a person. Mm-hmm. Until you figure out who you are, you cannot be. For the federal government to step in, or even a state or local government, school boards, to step in and try to push an agenda because they feel that way, that's not right. And it's refreshing to hear a candidate that is on the same page. Like, let's get back to what America is yeah. It's uniqueness.
I mean, these are decisions that can't just be undone. I mean, that's my whole thing with the transgender thing is just these are not things that they can then later change their mind and say, I made the wrong choice.
That's
So that's where one of my big concerns there are is society pushes them in a certain direction and it's something they can't fix later.
Exactly. You know. So we spent a little bit of time on this subject, but that's okay. Sometimes it's okay for somebody to go, a little bit more in depth on what their true thoughts and beliefs are. So you understand that they're not an extremist from one side or the other, but they're actually more in the middle than what you would think. And that's what libertarians are. I've kind of molded into a libertarian over the years. I did want to get to a couple other questions for you, involving the state of Minnesota and your thoughts. And what are your thoughts about how Governor Waltz has handled, especially after the George Floyd incident in Minneapolis? Mm-hmm. I understand letting people go through the grieving process, if you will. Peacefully protesting or peacefully assembling. I'm a very strong supporter of the First Amendment because I've done it quite often the last 4 years. What I didn't understand was his decision to not protect the city when he's seen signs of people becoming violent and he's seen the outside influences coming in to try to instigate certain things. And that involves not just the George Floyd incident, but that moves on to the police officer, I believe it was Brooklyn Park, who was charged and convicted of manslaughter. Basically the general attitude toward law enforcement in the state of Minnesota, especially in the metro area, what him and Keith Ellison have projected onto the state of Minnesota. What are your thoughts about all that?
Well, I mean, it's always a complex issue because, look, being out here in rural Minnesota, we have a very different relationship with our police officers than they do in the city. A lot of us know that our local police officers, they grew up together. I mean, they're policing the same areas they grew up in and they live in. The cities don't necessarily have it that way. So I think it is important for us to understand that there's a different mentality between both urban and rural. My big concern is when they started weighing in, when Keith Ellison starts weighing in, you're now putting your thumb on the scale of justice. And there is no way these officers would get a fair trial. I mean, Kimberly Potter is the prime example. She was the officer out in Brooklyn Park. I mean, if you go back now and you look at the laws, and I mean, there's no way she should have been charged for what you did, what happened with her. If you look at the body cam, I mean, this was somebody who made a mistake, immediately realized she made a mistake, did everything she could after that to take responsibility, and they still tried to throw the book at her. I mean, you look at just the immediate reaction she had after she realized she pulled the gun instead of the taser. There was no intent there. I mean, when you're a police officer, you are expected to make split-second decisions, and you have to acknowledge that when you make the wrong decision, somebody may die. And you do need to be held accountable for that. I just don't think the way she was treated on that was fair. And I don't think that Waltz or Ellison, I mean, when it came to the riots in the cities, I mean, I think they basically fed fuel to the fire. And this is one of those things that always, being a libertarian in a rural community compared to some of the libertarians I know within the city, we have very different views on this. Because they always see the worst, and we tend to see to more or less give the police officers a benefit of the doubt. But the catch is, for George Floyd, once they let that police station from the very beginning get vandalized and burned without any real punishment, without any real repercussions, that's what allowed everything else to happen after that fact.
Correct.
Because
I agree
at that
with
point
you.
They say, you know, I mean, if they were stood by there and very firmly came back and say, yeah, hey, we are going to hold this joker responsible. We're going to do a real note investigation. And part of the reason we have these issues is because in the past that always has not been what's always happened. Your police unions are extremely strong, and it makes it very hard to hold bad cops accountable. And of course, the communities that feel victimized see that, so they don't think they're going to get a fair chance or a fair shot. They don't think it's going to be addressed. So that's why they act the way they do, is because they feel that is their only out. That is their only way to show their displeasure. So I think this is a result of years and years and years of stuff, of building up. But we saw no leadership. I mean, you look at I'll use Rudy Giuliani and I'll use George W. Bush here. These were two politicians that people did not think very strongly of. But then the 9/11, when George W. Bush showed up there and started showing his leadership at the World Trade Center sites, people's opinions on him changed. Same with Rudy Giuliani, the same situation when he was the mayor of New York at that time. I mean, and because they showed up, there was an issue, there was a tragedy that went on. They showed up. They didn't point blames inside the house. They're like, somebody's gonna pay for this tragedy. But you didn't see that from Ellison. You saw, or Walt. You saw sympathy. You saw, I mean, they just did not. They did not show up when the bell rang. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, yeah. They, in my opinion, they dropped the ball. Number one, number two.
Yep.
They catered to one group rather than what our Constitution, what they swore to uphold. They went for their special interest. You know, well, we have to stand up for George Floyd, and we have to stand up for this police abuse. And without hearing any evidence, without seeing, you know, they've seen a video. We all seen the video, and I'll be the first one to admit, after I seen the video, I was pissed too. I'm like, hey, what the hell, man? But when you start looking at things from an outsider's view and really start analyzing everything, we're all Monday morning quarterbacks. We weren't put in that situation, number one. Number two, he did fail to abide by lawful orders. And they tried to accommodate him for a brief period of time. I'm not saying what happened to him is right, and I feel for him and his family. I don't believe that anybody should ever have to lose their lives. However, if we do not go by law and order in this country, we've started to see it in, I don't know, the last decade, that it's the rules for me don't apply to thee vice versa.
Yeah.
And that's not okay. It's if murder is illegal, it's illegal for the left, it's illegal for the right, and it's illegal for the guy in the middle too. Not one side or the other.
Yep, and I'm glad you're saying it that way, because I think you're also pointing out the same thing that those minority communities feel, is because they see these cops and they see people dying, and they don't see anybody being held accountable. They feel the same way as you just said, of rules are for thee, not for me, but it's on from the police perspective, that the police don't have to follow the same rules that they do. That if they kill somebody, their ass is going to jail, but if a cop does it, well, it'll get swept under the rug because they had a split second to make a decision. That's
correct.
What their anger is building up. And I think it's important for us to try to remember that as well. If that's where they're coming from on this, is they don't feel they're just like – we don't feel that the laws are being equally employed when it comes down to these rioters. They're feeling that the laws aren't being equally implemented when it comes to violence against their communities. Again, we're on the
exactly,
team,
and
this is what pisses me off so much about Black Lives Matter, is that if people would have came together and said, "Hey, look at the numbers. You have more white people being killed by police than blacks. Now you have a larger percentage of blacks being killed than whites, but we have the same problem. There's still too many people getting killed by police officers. Let's address it together instead of drawing that line." And if they would have came together, you could have got something done. But instead, you drew your own divisions. Which is automatic.
You drew the line in the
sand. Yeah, and you're going to take everybody who's on that other side of the line who could have been on your side, and you're shoving them away. Well, when you do that, when you shove somebody away, what do? They put up their walls, and now they become the enemy rather than your friend. And I think that's the same thing we've done in politics. Is there's things we get along with and we can cooperate with. And we refused to.
Yeah,
because
I watched it this morning, Travis, in Washington, D.C., the 1776 Restoration Movement. They went into Washington, D.C. to peacefully protest, and there was two ladies there with signs that were obviously on the far left. They wouldn't stop talking about the 1776 Restoration Movement being insurrectionists. Numerous times I heard them talk about, you guys are responsible for a Capitol Police officer being killed with a fire extinguisher, which turned out to be not true. They misinformation all over the place. That's what the media and the politicians have done to all of us, not just the left, not just the right, all of us. They have gaslit people so bad that they think they have to be either far left or they have to be far right. Like, I have to draw a line in the sand. It never had to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way.
They can control us. Nope.
Exactly. And guess what? Meanwhile, whether you're Democrat, Republican, whatever you are, you're sitting in federal office, state office, or local office. There's corruptness going from the bottom all the way up. I've preached about this for a very long time. And guess what? Nobody ever gets held accountable because they got people on the inside all over. We need to get people in office that are not establishment, that are willing to take responsibility and accountability for what their actions are and try to change our country and bring all sides to the table. That's what
we need
to
make Americans Americans again and not this these qualifiers. I mean,
exactly.
The my pet peeve, and I'm going to go on a tangent in here for a second, with Michelle Fischbach is we're in Western Minnesota. One of the things that's important to people in Western Minnesota is the veterans. Every small town you go to, there's a veterans memorial. I don't care how small the town is, there is usually a veterans memorial in that town. There was three bills that came across Michelle Fischbach's desk to help veterans, and she voted no on all of them. And when I asked her campaign manager, why did she vote no on this? The response I got was, well, these were all just Nancy Pelosi tricks, and you fell for them. What? I've read all three of those bills. They were all single-issue bills. One of them was 3 pages. One of them was 7 pages. When was the last time you ever heard of a law being 3 or 7 pages? I mean,
no.
They're what we asked
usually
for.
There's so many tag-ons on there, you can't.
Yeah,
you got to.
There was no poison pills in here, but it originated from the Democrats. So that's why she couldn't vote for him, is because it came from the other side. And it pisses me off because one of these bills was if you have a soldier or a sailor or a Marine, they're separating from the military. They've got some injury that is obviously service-related. They would automatically enroll them in the VA. And then the soldier could later, and they made sure the service member know, hey, you're enrolled in the VA now. If you don't want to be, you can disenroll. But we're going to automatically put you there, so if you do need care, you have it. She voted no for that. Why?
Party lines.
Okay, and that's what frustrates me so much. I mean, one of the bills that were just passed in the Senate was the Honoring Our Pact Act, which basically it made a connection for people who were exposed to burn pits either in Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan. There was like 23 diseases that if you got one of those diseases and you were exposed to the burn pit, chances are that they're connected. That was basically what it was doing. And it was stuff like cancer for Agent Orange in Vietnam. She voted no against that, said it cost too much money. Then she turns around and approves $40 billion to Ukraine. But if you go look at
her
campaign page, she says how much she loves veterans. What have they done to address veteran suicide? Over the last 30 years, we've lost 22 a day, almost every frickin' day, for 30 years.
Yep, it's down to 19, I think, their last numbers I've seen. But, yes, the 20. I've been preaching on the 22 a day for a long time. As a matter of just to show you how much I appreciate the veterans, I started a Facebook group called Honoring Our Veterans. What I do is I go out to our local cemetery when I have the time to do it, and I go out there and I clean around them and their spouses' their markers and get the dirt and the grass and stuff off of it and shine it up for them and leave an American flag. It's nothing huge. It's nothing I need recognition for, but it's called action. And I don't like people that say I stand for this, but have never done a damn thing to stand for it. Words are words. Actions are everything.
And what you're doing speaks of Western Minnesota. It speaks of this district. That's the kind of people we have in this district. And the fact that she would vote the way she did just tells me she has no real connection with the people in this district. I mean, how do you vote that way knowing how your constituents feel about subjects like that?
You go to every small town, Western Minnesota, Travis, like you said, they all have a memorial for veterans. In the town I'm from, hell, we have a 911 memorial, and it's called Memorial Park. We have National Guard members from Montevideo up to Morris, up to Crookston, all the way, all down, up and down West Minnesota. National Guard members have been dying in our wars, Vietnam, World War II. I mean, we can go right on down the line. Rural Minnesota has taken a brunt of those hits, and those are farm rural kids. And for you to, for not for you, but for Michelle Fishbach to stand up and say, I support our veterans, I'm sorry, but that's empty words. And, again, I'm not here to bash Michelle Fishbach because she's not here to defend herself. However, you're on the phone. I'm talking to you, and we're not – I want – basically what you're here is to tell everybody why you're a better candidate than Michelle Fishbach.
Right.
Well – number one, you said you served 20 years in the military. Number two, you are a small livestock producer. You live you live the life. You get it. You're not a corporate whatever you want to call it a suit. You get rural Minnesota, even though that you've only lived here since 2018. Doesn't mean that you're doesn't mean you don't know what's going on. You're living the life. So,
Well,
go ahead. I just wanted to explain that to people.
And what I want people to understand is, I mean, what people, because people ask me what makes you different. Let's go back and let's look at that first question that was asked as soon as we started the program from, what was his name, was Kenneth, correct?
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin, sorry. First question, I mean, the question he asked, did I give him the answer he wanted to hear?
No, you gave him
probably
the answer
not.
That – no, you gave him the answer that you were being honest with him.
That's what makes me different, is I'm not just going to go there and tell you what you want to hear. If I disagree with what you're saying, I'm going to say, hey, I disagree for this reason. But we can carry on this conversation. You know what? By the time we're done, you might convince me. But the thing is, everybody has a seat at the table to have these discussions with me. That's what's important to me. That's one of the things that if I'm elected, one of the things I said I was going to do is right now there's two congressional offices in this district. There's one that's sitting in Moorhead, and there's one in Wilmer. And I've said if I'm elected, I want to have at least three. I want to have one in the north, one in the central, one in the south. Then any time that I am not in D.C. or Congress is not in session, I'm going to spend one day a week in each of these offices at least, and we're going to do a town hall somewhere in that region of that of the district. So let's say we have an office in Wilmer. Somewhere in the southern part of the district, we are going to have a town hall that night that I'm working from that office. And it's open to everybody. I mean, that's part of my complaint now is our congresspeople are not answerable to us.
Exactly.
They never have to face the voters on why they voted each way. I tell people all the time, one of the other things I want to do is if I'm elected, on our congressional webpage, we're going to have how I vote, every vote, and why I voted that way. And you know what I mean? And part of the reason I'm doing that is completely selfish. Because part of the reason I want to do that is because when I vote some way that you don't want me to vote, because I want you to be able to look at that and go, oh, wait a minute, I didn't know this poison pill was in there. I didn't know because the other side is only saying I voted against this thing that's important to me, but they're not saying that it would have given another $50 billion to Ukraine if he voted yes. I want people to be able to see that and see what our process is and see the junk. I mean, why did you vote against this bill? Well, because they gave it to me yesterday and it's 2,000 pages and I couldn't read it. Do you really want
exactly.
me voting against
and,
something that I have not been able to read? But
that's what the normal person doesn't understand.
Election.
Yeah, they don't understand this in this country, not just this state, but this country. The media will come out and say, oh, yeah, the Republicans voted against veterans' rights, or they voted
yep.
against this. Or but they don't tell you what was tagged on to that bill.
Yep.
They had a bunch. They had 1,500 pages of absolute nonsense, wasteful
yep.
pork spending, and all they make it about is what side voted on what. Let's.
Yep.
These bills have gotten so absolutely damn ridiculous on how they put them through
mm-hmm.
there, and they know that because they know that a majority of the American people are too lazy to research it, and they're too. I don't want to offend people, but I'll be honest. They're well, lazy is number one. Number two, they think they care, but they think they're well versed or they're well educated because they listen to mainstream media. Well, my mainstream media source told me that the Republicans did this or the
mm-hmm.
Democrats did this, but they didn't tell you why. They just
yeah.
told you that
but
they voted against
no
it.
Such thing as, yeah, there is no such thing as news anymore.
No,
just
it's all propaganda.
What side it's coming from.
It's funny that we brought that up because I want to ask you a real quick question. Have you heard of the Smith-Mundt Act, a modernization act of 2012?
I have not.
Okay. I am not going to put you on the spot then. I'll text it to you so you can look it up because I think it's going to blow your mind. I'm one of those guys that people call, oh, he's a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. however, I do my due diligence.
Yeah.
I look stuff up. We won't have to discuss it anymore, but I will text you the information so you can go look it up because
mm-hmm.
when you read that, you're
yep.
going to be like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you know, and I get very frustrated because I believe in doing my due diligence. And whenever I see something, I want to go out and I want to look it up. I want to confirm. Before I try to repost anything or anything else, I'm very big about wanting to be accurate with anything I share or anything which frustrates the hell out of my communications director because the best way to grow a website is with memes, but most memes are not factually accurate. So I kind of put the kibosh on a lot of the memes he wants to post because if I'm going to put it out there, I want it to be true. But when I go back to
right.
do research on a lot of these memes to find out, I mean, to find something that's not just so slanted from either direction is so difficult. So, I mean, it's so hard for me to go out there and confirm anything or go against it because it's, okay, you look at it and go, wait a minute, well, this is CNN, how much do I trust them? Okay, let's go look here. Western Journal, don't really trust them on the opposite side either. So it's really so hard to find the actual base facts information where you can make your own conclusion. Because everybody tells you their conclusion, but they don't give you the facts.
Right. And you know, the second part of that is I've been guilty of posting stuff that I've later found out was maybe a little bit embellished or wasn't entirely all true. But I'm also man enough to stand up and say, you know what, I made a mistake there. I didn't do my due diligence on that one. And I prematurely posted that, and I apologize, and I delete the post,
I think we've all done that.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
I think we've all done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
but we have to be honest and take responsibility.
Wrong. Yeah, I'll usually put an edit on there and explain it's wrong and why it's wrong for a couple of days before I delete it just because I want people to see that late who come on later and go, okay, wait a minute, I believe this, but now he's admitting it's wrong. I want them to be able to see the retraction, more or less, I guess you could say, rather than just deleting it. They never saw something saying it was wrong, and they have the wrong information that they got from me at that point.
Well, right. We have to be responsible for our own actions. It's called accountability,
yeah.
And the government, they're not good at it. But no, I texted the Smith Modernization Act.
Yep.
So you know where to look it up at. I'll let you do your own research on that. I don't want to persuade you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
but I think it's important that, yeah, listen, we learn stuff new. There's so much to learn. There's so much craziness in this world that we just don't have the knowledge of. And the more knowledge we have, the better decisions we can make.
You know what? And that's part of what makes politics so hard is I can come in here with my belief on something. And then the more research I do, the more research I get, my opinion on something may change based off the most recent facts I have. Well, then people want to accuse you of flip-flopping. And it's like, well, it's not flip-flopping. It's as you become better educated, you have more information to make a decision. And sometimes facts, well, I'm not going to say the facts change. The facts stay the same, but the determination or what you could figure out from the facts has changed because you have some new information. So many politicians are scared to do that because they don't want to be accused of flip-flopping, and so they'd rather go to the grave with their wrong opinion because that's what's more important to them than admitting that they may have been wrong on something. Look, we're not perfect. I mean, I'm damn sure not. And if somebody wants to elect somebody who's perfect and will never make a mistake, dude, I'm not your guy. Okay. And I'm honest enough to admit it. If you're looking for the guy who has never sinned, again, that ain't me. I've lived my life, and yeah, there's mistakes I've made, and I've always done my best
to make it right after
the fact. I mean, please, and I tell that to people all the time. Oh, you're great on this, dude. Don't put me on a freaking pedestal. I'll just disappoint you. Okay, I'm just like you. I'm a normal guy. Don't expect me to be something I'm not, which is perfect. Okay?
Right.
Don't,
Everybody's accepting, I mean, expecting a superhero at this point. It's like, good luck with that.
Yeah, if you're voting for me because you want a normal guy, a regular everyday Joe in D.C., understand that's what you're getting. That means you're not getting something
exactly
perfect. But then none of us ever
see,
are.
See, Travis.
I'm just not pretending to be.
How can people find you? I found you on Twitter. I found you on Facebook. But I want you to publicly. And Kim, can you put this in our chat too? When he mentions how people can find him, go ahead and let people know how they can find you.
There's numerous ways. I mean, first of all, if you want to keep track of most of our most recent events, I mean, it would probably be Facebook, which is Bull Johnson for Congress. If you do come that way, please like and follow our page. When people try to determine how viable we are as a candidate, those social media accounts and the followers and the likes, that means a lot to people when they start determining how much of a chance they think you have. Right. So right now, our Facebook page is only like 500 likes behind Michelle Fishbox's official congressional page.
So that's Bull Johnson for Congress, correct?
Bull Johnson for Congress.
On Facebook.
On Facebook. And
on
our website is bulljohnsonforcongress.us. Again, bulljohnsonforcongress.us. And on there, you're going to be able to find our platform. You're going to be able to find our store. You're going to be able to find a place where our donation page is. But, I mean, it's a great resource if you're trying to figure out where I stand on some issue that we may not be covering tonight. That will help out a great deal so you can see where we're at. You have an option there to send me a message or on our Facebook page. I would prefer sending on the Facebook page because that's something I get to and respond to daily. I mean, pretty consistently.
That's how we got you on here.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to get an answer from me on pretty much anything you send to me. Because, again, that's one of my things. I want to be accessible to you. And then, of course, we're also on Twitter. And
I just want to verify that because, I mean, deal with Twitter. I've been trying to get verified on all these damn accounts, and it's a pain in the butt to do. Our Twitter is at Travis Bull John, J-O-H-N, and number one.
At Travis
Bull.
What was that at?
John.
B-U-L-L. J-O-H-N.
And the number one.
Travis Bull John one.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, I'm texting that to our producer, Kim. She's putting that through our chat right now for those that are listening on the internet. That way you guys got a good idea where you can go find Travis Bull Johnson. And you guys can go and ask him questions on your own. For some reason, we haven't gotten a lot of – usually we have, like, the switchboard is lit up and people are wanting to get on. And I don't know what's going on tonight, but that's okay. This show is recorded. So what's that, Chris?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, somebody did, I thought. I don't know what the hell that was. That was crazy. Something coming to my ear. I don't know what the hell that was. I thought Chris was yelling at me again.
No, it was probably me saying they just don't like me, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We have a few minutes left of the show, and I've been unfair to Chris because I wanted to ask you a bunch of questions. I got to the questions I wanted to ask you. Chris is my co-host. He's on here every week.
Mm-hmm.
In fairness to Chris, lives in Illinois. I'm actually mm-hmm. your constituent. So if we do have a guest on, that's Chris's constituent, or is a constituent, or Chris is their constituent, the tables will probably be turned. But Chris, mm-hmm. is there anything that you would like to ask Travis Bull Johnson tonight?
No. I think we've covered about anything I would think of. So nothing at the moment. I know I usually have a lot to put in on things, but not in this case.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that it's kind of a specialized topic, and our producer Kim, mm-hmm. whom I'm always welcome to ask a question if she wanted to. She's in Canada, so she's not in your district either. So.
I will jump in and say I wish I was, because I love seeing real and authentic, and I think you are real and authentic, and I loved everything you said.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I'm glad you said that and brought that up, because, I mean, we've been doing – anybody who knows Minnesota knows that during the summertime you have all your little fairs and all your little small-town parades and all over the state and all over the district. And we've been trying to go through as many of those as we can. But the one response we've been getting back is, I like you, you're real. And because they don't feel that with anybody else. I mean, and that's what I want people to understand with me is, and that's why it's important to me, even on our Facebook page, you're going to probably see one or two farm posts a month. It has nothing to do with politics. It's just, this is what's going on our farm. This is some of the challenges we're facing. Because I want people to understand, I'm just like they are. You don't see that side of most politicians. The only thing they show is something very tightly scripted, and they just see what you just see what they want you to see. And I don't think that's right, because we need to be able to make our decisions on who we're voting on a total person concept. Who is this person really? And we don't get that opportunity, and that's kind of frustrating for me.
It's frustrating for all of us, Travis, and honestly, that's why I've been watching you for as long as I have. I'll be completely honest with you. I've been watching you. I'm like, okay, so this guy's a lot like me. I mean, you got the beard, and, you know, you're out working with your animals, and I'm a truck driver, obviously.
Yeah.
And I've looked at you, and I thought, okay, I'm waiting for this guy. Let's see where his true colors come out. And honestly, your true colors – what you see is what you get with Travis. That's his true colors. He's not putting up putting on a facade. I mean, this is who he is. And I appreciate that about you. And I'll be honest with you, too, not just because you're on my radio show, but you definitely got my vote come November. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, again, that's what we have to do. I mean, you have to be able to show people this is who I am. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that are very important to me is integrity. I mean, that's been something important to me my entire military career. Is I could have went higher in rank if I would have played the game. But I never was much for playing the game. I mean, things are right or things are wrong, and you call them as you see them. And if something's screwed up, I mean, you say it's screwed up. You don't pretend like it's not because you want to protect somebody's feelings. And that's just the way I've always been. I mean, again, not to say that I'm perfect, but, I mean, that's something that's always been important to me. Is like when I would get my evaluation forms, the sections that were important to me was integrity and candor. I mean, I want people to say, yeah, this is what you see and what you hear from him is what you get, and that's what I want
people to see me
as a candidate.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us can appreciate that, Travis, and we have just a few minutes left here. And I want to wrap this up with you. And number one, I want to tell you, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on here and just chat. And if there's another time that you want to come on, you got my phone number. Just shoot me a text and say, hey, I got some stuff I'd like to say. Would you let me come on for an hour, 2 hours? Hell, if you want 3 hours, that's fine. If you got some stuff that you want to get out there. No, I mean that. I think it's important to give, you know, let people decide for themselves by hearing the honesty come out of the candidate.
Yes.
So I just want, you know, in closing, Travis, thank you so much for coming on. And I was hoping we'd get more phone calls. Apparently I didn't do a good enough job advertising tonight, or it's probably Facebook and Twitter have put me on their algorithms of do not show.
Well, again, we covered a lot of the hot button topics, so we might have told people most of what they were looking to hear. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on, and I will by all means take you up on your offer. And again, I appreciate the opportunity. I'll always tell people where we're at, and it's as you notice, I don't shut up very much, so you need to keep control. But I appreciate you letting us on. And
it's all good, Travis. I mean, like, you know, when I texted you the first time, which I don't know, it was probably a month ago maybe, I was going to have you on the radio show, and I had nothing but truck problems and just issues, man. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And then I texted you the other night. I said, hey, I've been through a shit show for the last however long. Are you available on Thursday night? And I had to refresh your memory, but you remember. Oh, yeah. And I made sure to let you know that this isn't an attack on you. I'm not getting on here to make you look like a jerk or nothing like that, because I honestly, I like what you're saying.
I appreciate it. Yeah, and I know where you were coming from with the truck issues last week. My granddad was a trucker. My dad's still a hotshot trucker, so he's been doing that for 35 years. So I definitely understand when that stuff happens.
Well, and here's the thing: farmers and truckers is what makes this country go around. Not that everybody else is not important, but for the main part, you know, if you don't have farmers to grow the food and truckers to haul it, this country would be in deep shit. But you gas station workers, you restaurant workers, everybody's essential. Remember that. Nobody is less than anybody else. We all make that wheel of this country move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you best represent that, Travis. And I'm going to let you go on this one. And I just want to say before I let you go again, thank you so much for joining us tonight on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. You can share that link out again, Travis. This is recorded. Okay. They can re-listen to this if you want people to hear what you had to say tonight. just tell them to go to the about the hour 15-minute mark is when you got on, hour 18-minute mark,
mm-hmm.
and then they
yep.
can listen to everything that you had to say. And
all righty.
We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, sir. Have a great night. Bye.
You too. All right, everybody. That was Travis Bull Johnson running for Congress here in Minnesota against Michelle Fischbach. I really liked what he had to say tonight, and I hope you all did too. Lisa and Lee Schmidt started the show off with Lee's exemption. You guys can all go, please go and comment under that to regulations.gov. When you get to the search bar, go 2022-12467, and that'll bring you right to Lee's exemption request. I think it's important that we get as many comments as we can, because that will set precedent on exemptions. So that's a good thing. But, no, we had a good show tonight, everybody. Kim, thank you for everything you did tonight. It's refreshing to have somebody on that is you're on the ball, lady. I'm telling you.
I am. I was just going to say, side note, once someone reads the text about the Facebook page, we will put on all Travis Bull Johnson's information on there and the information already for Lee and Lisa are on there for the exemption. But, yeah, what a fantastic guy. Like, I'm just like,
yeah.
I want to move to Minnesota. Like, he's not part of the narrative. He's refreshing. He's authentic. And I hope
yeah,
he stays that way.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a good dude. So is Chris, you know, we'll have a conference call after I get done with this. We got, like, a few minutes left. So let me finish up with the radio show, and then why don't you and Chris both call me, and we'll have a little conference call, a little powwow, and talk about how the show went. How's that sound?
Certainly. You know, great show.
Okay. So back to what, you know, the show with Kim. Kim is seriously, dude. She pops in when she needs to pop in, interrupts when she needs to. Not rudely, by the way. I actually have been very pleased with how she's popped in tonight. Chris, I've been very disappointed on his interruptions because he's always rude. No, just kidding. Chris, what do you want to say in closing, my friend?
Oh, man. I've been nice. I haven't even been using the buzzer or anything. But
I've been waiting for it.
But no, you know, it's this kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you remember the Republican landslide of 1994 when, you know, Bill Clinton had taken office in 92 and kind of started steering the country in a hard left direction. And at the midterms in 94, there was like a huge influx of politicians on the Republican side that came in, that they were not career politicians. They it was like a grassroots kind of movement. All these people jumped in, said, "Whoa, I got to come in here and throw my name in the hat because things are going kind of crazy," and it worked. You saw a lot of new blood come into Congress, and I think we're kind of getting to that point now. Again, only people are kind of tired of both sides of the aisle, and it's good to see. And of course, you know, I'm the campaign manager for a Libertarian candidate for a state house in Kentucky, and I think people are ready to start looking towards those more independent voices. Like, they're kind of tired of the two-party system, and They're looking for somebody to step in and just to be a real person, you know, with that has that connection to the everyday life of regular people. And I mean, it's, you know, that's where Travis is coming from. And
yeah, no, I wish him well, and it's been great, you know, kind of hearing from him, and I hope we get a lot more people running for office like him all around the country that are just real people grounded in the everyday issues of normal everyday Americans, you know, that can actually relate to the overwhelming majority of the population instead of appealing to the wing nuts, you know, on both sides. So yeah, that's about all I got on that.
All right. No, and I agree with you. Honestly, I'm looking forward to, you know, you're from the great state of Illinois and land of Lincoln. I'm hoping that there's some candidates that pop up that catch your eye and your interest that you can contact through whatever means you have, and we can get them on. And hell, I'm not opposed to getting candidates on that are running for parliament in Canada. I'm not opposed to getting candidates that are running for office, no matter where you're at, in the States, whether you're in Canada, as long as you believe in freedoms, individual freedoms and liberty, if you know of a candidate that needs maritime, that needs to get their voice out there so people understand who they are, by all means, send them in our direction. Those of you that have my phone number, give them my phone number. I'll talk to them, and we'll talk, and we'll get them on air. And I'm really not interested in hearing the song and dance of the right or the song and dance of the left. I'm tired of politicians telling us what we want to hear. I want you to tell me what it is what's your plan to change this country or Canada or anywhere. I don't care if it's Australia. I know we have listeners from Australia, New Zealand, Brazil. I don't care where you're from. BlogTalkRadio.com goes all over the world. You come on. I'll give you the airtime. I'll give you the link. You can promote the show from wherever you're at. And let's get you on. Let's talk. As you can see, I've had Representative Jeremy Munson on. I didn't go after him or attack him. Now tonight, Travis Johnson. South Carolina, we've had, I just had a brain fart. Chris, got to help me out. What the hell is his name? He just won his primary down there in South Carolina. I stood with him in Hagerstown, Maryland. He's a great guy. My brain is fried after a 3-hour show. I'll think of
no,
it,
that
but
was
I'll mention it. What's that?
I said, no, that would slip in my mind, too.
Yeah, and I'm dude, if you're listening or if you hear this, I am so sorry. He just got married. I could picture you. I've sat with you and your new wife now, and you're a fantastic dude, and South Carolina would be damn lucky to have you. You are a true American patriot that believes in the Constitution. And my apologies for just having a brain fart right now. Holy Lord, I feel bad. But anyway, go to Facebook, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. We will start posting links and all that good stuff. I'll get more involved with that page, except I won't be an admin or a moderator, just to protect the page from getting shut down, like I explained earlier in the show, because I'm pretty controversial on a lot of the stuff I post. I've already gotten a warning from Facebook, and I've only been back on Facebook for a few months. So I try to watch my tone, but I get a little emotional sometimes. I'm very passionate about what I believe in, and not even what I believe in, but about facts. So go to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show on Facebook, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I believe that's my name on Getter now. I changed my name. The Disrespected Trucker on Twitter. The Disrespected Trucker on Facebook. Also, we post a link on there. If you could, we ask that you share our link out. You'll see it on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Otherwise, it's in my bio on Twitter and Getter. And Yeah, that's it. We're not here to be rude or disrespectful, even though the name is the Disrespected Trucker. It's not the Disrespectful Trucker. So keep that in mind. We want to get the truth out there, and we're uncensored, and thankfully we have a platform to do that. Thanks to Unplugged Radio. And on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Central, you can check out Chatio and Michael on the Patriots United radio show on the same platform. And Kim is also a producer on their show, and she does a fantastic job, and we couldn't be more happy to have her. So with that being said, let's just end this episode, number 38, that we had Leland Schmidt on and Lisa Schmidt talking about their exemption with the FMCSA. And we had Travis Bull Johnson running for District 7, Congressional District 7, here in Minnesota. I hope you all have a great night. God bless each and every one of you. And thank you so much for your time. And please, give us a share. Let's grow this. Have a great night.